Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Guardians split a four-game set with the Minnesota Twins. The Guards dropped the final two games of the series, including a 3-1 loss yesterday, despite seven innings of shutout ball from Gavin Williams. The Guardians will try to get right tonight in Tampa Bay when they take on the Rays at 7:10. The Cincinnati Reds did not play yesterday, but they'll be back on the diamond in St. Louis today. You can catch coverage of tonight's game after the conclusion of the Buckeye Show at 8 o'clock, followed by First Pitch at 8:15. And finally, according to a congressional source who spoke to ESPN, the controversial Protects College Sports Act is not expected to be put in a full vote in the U.S. Senate before Congress takes recess in August. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
We're the five best rappers of all time.
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Friday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He's Tyvis. Good morning. Go to hell. Tyvis, how was your Thursday, buddy?
Sore.
Yeah?
It was a lot. I had a lot going on.
What'd you do?
Well, I mean, it's not a lot going on, but like I had went to go lift. So I've been lifting anyway. So, you know, I've been on this serious 6 weeks training thing. Mm-hmm. And I decided it kept going. You know, sometimes previous weeks, Thursday or Friday would be like the day where I'd be like, I'm done for the week. Well, I said, no, you going. And it's funny because I had got a phone call from nobody other than Cardio Eugene Jones.
Let him live.
And he was telling me about how he's working out at a place out of town. He was working out and it was like
is he ever in town? Because all your stories involve you driving his car because you had to take him to the airport and then you have his car to drive around and then you pick him up at the airport and then he takes you to a gun range or like a venison store and you get a whole bunch of food or test drive another car.
Funny enough, he's out of town, but he coming in town tonight.
Uh-huh.
Because we going to dinner. Him and I and some other people, we going to dinner. So
Chipotle?
No, this is like an actual restaurant. I gotta find out the name of the restaurant. But anyways, that's not the part of the story. That's not the point.
McDonald's. It's very high end. It's a French place. You should check it out. It's delicious. And enjoy that.
So anyways, he calls me and he tells me, like, hey, I just took a class. And he was telling me a story about the class that he took.
Workout class?
Yeah, workout class. It was a 50-minute workout.
Because I remember, we're not here to play school.
Correct.
That's what I was told.
That's
so
correct.
I'm just saying. I may have gotten blocked on Twitter for that accidentally because I was on his side. He blocked because I was making fun of the people. It's okay.
He's
it's
notorious. All water. Nah, he's notorious for that.
Good. Like, he should block people. People are idiots.
If you ever say, Cardio, let me see your block list, and you see his phone, and just you'll scroll for hours.
How many
people blocked on his phone, Twitter, all of that. It's ridiculous.
There was a tweet where there was an article about him walking into Urban's office at one point when you guys were playing, and he like apparently walked in and like put his feet up on the desk or something, like teasing Urban, I guess. You're rolling your eyes. It sounds like something he would do. And the article was like, you know, talking about how Cardale is like a jokester and has fun, but he's a great player. And then I sarcastically retweeted that and said, well, this is clearly a knock on him because he should be in class. This is, you know, like, I was making fun of the argument that people made where I thought he was 100% right that, yeah, you're here to play football. That was like the number one thing. And I didn't blame him for that. But when I did that, the sarcasm font was not readily apparent to him. I'm sure he got a lot of crap for that.
You gotta italicize. Is that the italics?
Yeah, I guess. That's what you gotta do.
Put
it
in there so they know that that's sarcasm.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why. That's why I got
it. Anyway, back to the story.
Yes, so he's in a class.
Yeah, he took a class.
Pilates?
No, he didn't. He said it wasn't Pilates. He said he didn't know what it was.
Kanye's new workout plan?
Whatever.
What is? I don't want to know what that involves.
Anyway.
What is that plan?
The point of the story
that's
is.
That's a 20-year-old reference.
Okay. Well, good. I hope it is not a the last 5 years, because last 5 years he's been a different guy.
The point of the story is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that we had shared the same sentiment to where it's like sometimes you don't feel like working out, mm-hmm. but you just got to go up there. You got to go. You got to get dressed and you got to get in the car. And you just got to go. And when you get there, you'll be like, I'm ready to work out. Mm-hmm. So I hung the phone up, boom, and I got dressed and I just went up there. And I was like, I got, since I'm up here, I got to work out.
Yeah.
And I was doing lower body for the second time this week because I did it on Monday. So did it again yesterday.
Okay.
Make a long story short, my calf muscles is on fire. And I don't, and then it's crazy because I, all this time I lift, I don't never lift calves. Like,
really?
I don't do calf raises and stuff like that. I just feel like you naturally gonna get it. Like it comes with the workout. You're
apparently not.
Like if you jump and do all that stuff, like I do botch jumps and stuff like that.
Sure.
So like naturally, the calf is getting worked on.
This is why I don't do any leg exercises. Because I figure every day, me carrying around 350 bills, like that's enough. I did it. I've got it. Like I'm doing a squat every time I sit, get up. I'm squatting 350 pounds every time I get up out of a chair. That's so go impressive. Ahead. I mean, so every time I get up and sit down, you know, like I do my sit up every morning, half in the morning, half at night. You do the first half when you get up, second wow. half when you lay down.
That's sad.
So that's one sit up. Calf raises every time I go upstairs.
But anyways,
yeah.
So yesterday I actually physically did calf raises.
And
now my calf is on fire.
Well, that's, yeah.
It's hard to walk. And I didn't know it until it was one of them. It'd hit you in the morning. So I got out to bed and like walked to go to the bathroom and like, I was like, ow, ooh, what's that? And yeah.
So would you admit then that your theory about leg day and about how your calves just get it naturally, your calf muscles,
calf.
It's a calf. One calf. But
calf.
Like when you have a calf calves. In the wild or at a farm, there's two calves. So are those your calves or your calf muscles? I don't know how
calves.
We say
calves.
Calves?
We're saying calf muscles right now.
Yeah, no, but not. Yes, but we're not saying calves.
But
we wouldn't
they
say,
calves.
Like, I worked
it's
out my calves.
Calves.
Yeah, see,
your
I don't
calves.
Know.
I wouldn't say I'm working out my calves
are they,
muscles.
Are they mooing or can you milk them? I don't know if that's right or not. I have no idea. All I know is, at the end of the day, you root for the Cavs, but your calves are on fire. And LeBron is trying to decide if he'll go to the Cavs and work out his calves, I guess. Somehow.
The English dictionary.
I was going
to
say,
I'm just trying to get
English
the search
teacher.
Engine to find us through all this, where we just say Cavs a lot, and eventually we end up on the Cavs algorithm somehow.
If so an English fine. Teacher's listening right now, they drove off the road.
If an English teacher's listening to us right now, it's because they got fired from being a teacher. Because if they were a teacher,
that's
they,
not true. They're
no,
not
I'm
there
saying,
yet.
Oh, no, well, I'm they saying, they're not, time. I'm saying break, because if they are a teacher, they shouldn't be listening to us because we're stupid. That's why.
Well, yeah, they didn't got mad at us a bunch.
Yeah, fair enough. Lots to get to today. Morning Breath coming up at 8:15. More of your calls. We do have calls. 614-460-8010 is the voicemail number. We actually got a voicemail today. I saw it like 2:30 in the morning, which I approve of. That is exactly why. I don't know who sent it. I'll have to look up who sent it. But I saw there was a voicemail in there. And I thought that is exactly why the voicemail line exists. Because if you're up at 2:30 in the morning and you have a thought, put it there. Because you can't always call in right when we're on the air. And that's fine. That's what the voicemail line is for. And it's also for you to call during the show. I'm just saying, if you have a thought sometime we're not on the air, like this weekend, you're watching sports, there's something going on, something on your mind, please let us know. 614-460-8010. Good news for the Blue Jackets. They got the Jet Greaves deal done. So he signs a 3-year, $15 million extension. And by all accounts, they were like right up to the deadline on the arbitration thing, which for those who aren't familiar, the way the arbitration hearing works is the Jackets and the player, in this case, Jet Greaves, can decide to work out a deal all the way up until the arbitration hearing starts. It was scheduled for 9 a.m. yesterday morning. Once they go into that meeting, you get no more dealing. Arbitrator just decides what's going to happen and that's it. And you're stuck with that. So apparently, according to the reports I saw, Jet Greaves' camp asked the arbitration hearing to not occur yet. They were like getting up to 9 o'clock and they said, hey, can we have a, I don't know, like a half an hour or something, because we're so close to hammering this out, let's finish it off and let's not go to arbitration. And apparently that was allowed to happen.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? Apparently they listened to the show, because I told you what number he was going to end up getting.
You did.
They said he was going to give him 2.8. He said he wanted 7. I said, give him 5.
Right. Yeah.
Give him 5.
Well, and you know
after
what?
After looking it all up, looking at the numbers, I was like, I see why he wanted the 7. Give him 5.
Isn't that what Elvis has had?
He was like, getting like 5.8 or something like that.
But it's so funny because Elvis's deal, rightfully so, when he signed it, we all were worried that if he didn't pan out, that's a deal that's, you know, pretty significant. And now, obviously, we know how significant that's been. The amount of money on that has been an albatross around the Jackets, you know, neck on this thing. It's been not great. However, with Jack Greaves getting a 3-year, $5 million deal, I feel way better about that. Term is shorter, one.
I'm about to say, it's a couple dollars different.
Well, no, but I feel way better because this is a few years ago when that was signed. Salary cap is different. The numbers are getting higher and higher for goalies. So this is a fine deal to me. I think this is fair. I mean, he's 36, 28, and 11 with a 913 save percentage and 4 shutouts in his career. They're paying him $5 million a year. I think that's a reasonable ask for a guy who's got like top 10 goalie potential. He has, I know some in some metrics, he is a top 10 goalie, but I'll take $5 million for your goal. Now, you sadly have $10 million tied up in goalie, right? Unless you can do something. I don't know if they can, hopefully they can buy out Elvis or. I think that all has to happen after arbitration. I was trying to read some of it yesterday, and I passed out because it was boring, and I fell asleep.
People have been talking about Elvis getting traded or not being on the Jackets for like 3 years
that's
now.
That's fast.
He's going to be here.
They have talked about it. He's not getting traded, right? Unless they restructure the contract, which I don't know there's any reason that he would agree to that. So
they would have to highly incentivize another team if they were to trade him.
Oh, yeah, everything's been
draft picks. And we know that this team loves to keep their draft picks. So,
well, that's not going to happen because we know Bones love Elvis. He like kind of saved his career last year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why people disrespect Elvis. He's an Olympian.
He was for Latvia, right?
Definitely was.
He hits unrestricted free agency next year, does Elvis. So we're in the final year of his 5-year, $27 million contract. Yikes. That's glad to get that one out of the way. But all right, so good for Jack Greaves. Good business by the Jackets.
What if he has a good year this year?
He won't. So hey. you're good.
Hey.
You're good. Don't worry. You'll be fine.
You think he turned it around with Bones last year?
So he had a couple moments. Tyvus, I've been on this roller coaster before. This is the one where the end of the track, there's just no rails left. And you're like, it's over.
Him and Jet was like battling. Jet pitched a shutout, and then Elvis said, hold on, let me show you something. And then he went out and pitched the shutout.
That lasted for about a week.
Yeah, right. The consistency is what you need. They play 84 games. Oh, they have to be consistent. All right, the SEC was full of whiny babies yesterday. You will hear from some of them coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now we're tracking a crash on the north side, 270 eastbound. We've got lanes closed just passing Cleveland Avenue. Again, 270 eastbound just past Cleveland Avenue. Expect to encounter crews. I'm 10TV's Amy Stuggerwald with your fan.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30, and he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have filtered sunshine throughout the day. After that very nice start to the day, we'll end up around 80 this afternoon, just a touch warmer than the past couple of days. For the overnight hours, partly cloudy skies, lower 60s for a low. Saturday, still looking good, partly sunny skies, a touch more humidity with highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Remember the time producer Dylan said that Alabama should be in the playoffs and that Tyvus started yelling at him? Those were good times. And remember later that day when Tyvus punched him in the face? Oh, classic stuff. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tyvus is having a good time.
You got to laugh at your pain.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. No, it's, today. Little update, if you were listening yesterday, and I told you about my daughter stepping on a hot curling iron, and she had like a burn on her foot, and we were a little concerned about it. Well, update, they took her to urgent care to get it looked at, and they said, yeah, you should probably go to the burn unit at Children's Hospital. So apparently, we got to do that today.
Yeah, it'd be something. You got to go all the way home. As soon as you get in the door, hey,
Well,
we got an appointment for the burn unit. It's in 30 minutes.
This probably makes me a terrible dad, but I because my wife took her to the urgent care because I had to pick up other kids. Because this is just our lives. We just always are running somewhere to pick up somebody and drop someone off or whatever.
Well, your Otis is about to drive, so it comes to an end.
Talk to her about that. And wait, please do it. Make it happen.
She don't want
to
do it.
She'll get there.
I didn't want to drive. You know what? When I turned 16, I hated driving. And
really?
I didn't want to do it. My mother made me like go to driving school, take the test and get my license.
Yeah.
Because she was like, you got to come on now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I like to be chauffeur. And to this day, I would love to hop in the passenger seat.
Oh, yeah. You're the one who does the driving with Cardale. Why do you do that?
I know. Because I'm usually... So this is typically how it works.
Yeah.
If I'm driving his car, which 90% of the time I am, if I'm driving his car,
yeah,
he drives to the airport, and then we do the thing where he gets out, and then I jump in the driver's seat, and I take off.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm picking him up in his car... He also makes me get out the driver's seat, and he drives his car so he could just drop me off at home and
or,
keep going.
As you've put it, kidnap you and take you to go to eat.
You just never know with him. You never know what else is planned. You think that it's this, and it might be extra stuff. Just like tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tonight you're going to
Three Creeks is the name of the place.
In Gahanna. That building, I don't know about the restaurant, but that building has been there. I looked it up since that was the house I lived in when I was a kid. When I was born was Gahanna. We lived over there.
Okay.
And I remember that building being there ever since I've been alive. So
okay.
I'm old. Well, so I'm saying that building's been there a while.
It's on 12. I'm leaving my wallet at home.
There you go. I good for you. Enjoy that. Enjoy that dinner. That should be a good time. You're going to have a blast, hopefully. Also, speaking of food, I saw Trey in the chat said, Chad, my birthday is Sunday. So happy birthday, Trey. Is there anywhere in the state that is a must-go for food? Not picky at all. Anywhere in the state?
Oh, my gosh.
Slimans, downtown Cleveland. Get you a Reuben.
Okay. I like that he threw out anywhere in the state. I'm willing to drive to go wherever. So, you know what, Trey? I hope the YouTube chat comes through, but you can jump in the YouTube chat. YouTube 971 The Fan. Click on T-Bone and Tyvus. You'll be right in there.
Hey, he brought up Wario's.
Yeah, Wario's is here. That's a great spot.
I mean, if we're talking birthday dinners.
It's your birthday. You can go wherever you
want. No, this is a lunch. This is more of a lunch type thing.
Even if it's a lunch, I'm a Jeff Ruby's guy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hey, you got money.
You know what's crazy? I've been to now a decent number of steakhouses in town. I still have yet to do Jeff Ruby's.
To do Jeff Ruby's too.
I need to go. I've never done it.
So to no one's surprise, the only times I've been able to go is when someone gave me a gift card, but that mm-hmm. still only pays for part of the meal because you're probably going to spend like $300 on two
like for two
there.
People. Yeah, for that's two people? That's what I would expect.
Are you getting about? Is this like you getting a drink too? See, this is what gets me.
If you're going to steakhouse.
This is what gets me.
I mean,
if it was just me, the bill would be significantly cheaper.
Well, yeah, because lemonade's probably free.
Exactly, and I'm trying to get the lieutenant to see it my way.
She wants to have a drink at the steakhouse. What's wrong with that?
You don't have to have a glass of wine. You don't.
Yeah. No.
We can get you some lemonade.
Glass of wine is great.
We can cheers it. Bing!
Glass of wine is great.
We can even put it in the wine glass. We could order a lemonade and wine glasses.
When you go to steakhouses, though, they got bartenders that it's like they went. Now, I mean, I know all the bartenders like go to school. They get, but like some of these people are like they're highly trained. They're making stuff that like you can't get anywhere
you know
else.
It's a relief.
I'm not saying you don't need to. I'm not encouraging anyone who doesn't want to drink not to drink. But I'm saying if you like to drink and you go to a steakhouse and you don't get a cocktail, you're kind of missing out on like half the, at least for me,
T-Bone.
If you like
First
to drink.
First of all, that's baloney. Secondly,
it's not
no, it's second, steak and wine.
No, that's baloney.
Or wine. They have tremendous wine at
don't
steakhouses.
Don't you know that bartenders love seeing people like me? They spend their whole night trying to remember these recipes and how to make these drinks. And then I come up there and say, yeah, let me get a lemonade. All mm-hmm. they do is grab that little hose thing and hit the lemonade and boom, hand it. It's the best thing ever.
But they can't charge you $10 for a lemonade and then...
And then you don't tip like someone who's getting a, like if you put some alcohol on that drink, suddenly I get a little tip.
It depends on how many lemonades I have. If I get like five of them and I get going, because you know that sugar get to you, I might give them a 20.
Now that's
slap
nice.
Them a 20.
I'm not going to order the Japanese Wagyu and get it with a water. I'm not doing it.
No. Sorry. No. I'm with you. I go for the, and by the way, I'm getting an app too. I'm getting something beforehand because that's the whole experience. Sitting there with like goose pate or something. Sure, why not? Let me try it. I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I'm going to try it.
Alex King says the Pearl is the best of the Cameron Mitchell restaurants.
You know, that's another one I've not been to.
I haven't been to the Pearl, but I've been to the Ocean's Club in Polaris. My wife loves to go there and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I live in Dublin and haven't been to the Pearl. I pass it all the time.
That's bad. That's bad on me because I've been to plenty of Cameron Mitchell's spots and I do enjoy them when I go. But yeah, I saw Trey said, I'm assuming you've been to Wario's downtown, asking me. Yes, I have been. It is worth it. If you have not been and you like a nice steak sandwich, you like a, you know, Philly cheese steak, even their Caesar that they do, like your chicken Caesar cutlet with the chicken cutlets.
Yeah. Woo. I'm scared to get it right now because of the whole lettuce epidemic.
I'm not. I'm back. By the way, I have been.
Go ahead.
Listen,
Taco Bell
has been there for me. Through my darkest days, you think I'm jumping ship? You think I'm abandoning Taco Bell? I saw some now. They're down like 28%. They're down 28% this quarter for people like walking in because they're scared of the lettuce. Nothing scares me at Taco Bell. I love you,
really,
Taco Bell.
You really
I'm
been
there.
Going to Taco Bell.
Yeah, this is medical fact. RFK Jr. was talking about it. Once you drink Baja Blast, it neutralizes the explosive diarrhea thing. So, yeah, I think he was saying that on the last Health and Human Services update. I think he talked about that. Yeah. So
he might have went on Rogan's podcast.
You
know,
I think they were talking about it there too, where it's like Baja Blast, you can actually inject it right into your veins and it gets rid of COVID and everything else.
The sad
it's fine.
Thing is, I don't fault you because when the E. coli thing was happening at Chipotle, I was in there every day.
That's true.
It was unbelievable.
Like I'm gonna forget about you.
That you could go to Chipotle and walk straight to the front of the line, get your stuff and be out. Usually it's packed. It was the best times to go.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw what Taco Bell. I get paid nothing to tell you this. I am not endorsing them. I am just telling you that I enjoy it personally. But they had a thing on their app where they said, hey, we know you're scared of our lettuce, even though you shouldn't be. Nacho fries are $1. And I think they had also nacho fries are $1. And I think there was like an enchilito or something. But you had to have the app and you had to be like a customer. And it was saying, because we know you're scared of lettuce, we don't want you to not come back. So here's some lettuce-free products that we'll give you for $1 just to get you to come back and see how it's okay. But they recalled all that stuff. They got all that lettuce out of there. It's fine. It's all I'm good. I've been going. I had lettuce yesterday.
I got to stay off of that for like a month.
No problems. I'm
and Taco
good.
Bell ain't something that I just run to all the time anyway.
Now, so. I'll see if I see that Taylor Farms that was the brand that I think that made. They were the ones that had the lettuce that got contaminated. You go to the grocery store and they got on clearance Taylor Farms salad bags. Those are the ones they said I may avoid the clearance ones because those might be the ones from, you know,
they
back in the bad
the stores
times.
Stores can't sell you that.
I know. I think that's crazy.
I think they've pulled all that off too. But I'm sure they're probably struggling because people are probably like, oh, which salad is it? No, I'm not getting that one.
I told you I went to Walmart. All the salads were sitting there.
I'm sure all the other salad places are pissed off. All the other farms are like, what the hell? It wasn't us. We didn't do this. Now they're in trouble. Everybody's in the same boat.
I had a salad in about 2 weeks now. It is sad.
Same. Different reasons, though. Just does the lettuce on my taco count? Because I did do that. I had some lettuce on that yesterday.
I probably haven't had a salad in 2 years.
Attaboy. There we go. All right. So the SEC, a bunch of whining babies. We didn't get to any of this because we got talking about food and other things. What a shock. Coming up next, 2 minutes away, you will hear from some of the whiners and complainers in the SEC. I don't know if you guys know how much of a struggle it is to be a coach in the SEC, but you're going to hear from some of them in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. 270 eastbound. Right now we're tracking a crash on the north side. This is just past Cleveland Avenue. We've got lanes closed and crews on scene. Again, 270 eastbound, just past Cleveland Avenue. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan.com.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordofColumbus.com. Every time Tybus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
All right. Been teasing this for like 10 minutes. I'm going to play the audio straight away. This is from SEC Media Days. Apparently yesterday was a big day for all the coaches to talk. Even former coaches like Nick Saban was talking. And just the insanity coming out of these mouths. This is the once proud conference of the SEC, the conference that was just their domination was never in question. And now you got these guys reduced to talking about how, well, you see, the thing is if we had just, you know, look at our schedule, man, look how tough everything is for us. They're preemptively baking in some excuses for a season where they now have to play 9 conference games instead of 8, which is what they have been playing. This is the first year of going to 9, and they're all really worried about it. Here is Steve Sarkisian, who I will give him credit. He is the least of the babies of all the guys I'm about to play for you. This is Steve Sarkisian talking about keeping the tough non-conference games on the schedule, like perhaps they have Notre Dame, not this year, but I think next year and the year after, they have a series scheduled with Notre Dame. Will they keep that on the schedule? Here is what Steve Sarkisian had to say about that.
If we beat Ohio State last year, surely we're in a much better position when it comes to the playoffs. But on the other side of it is, if I don't play Ohio State and I play Jones Junior High and we're 10-2 and our two losses are to Georgia and Florida, we're a playoff team. But like anything in this world, if you want to be really good at something, you got to take risk. There's a lot of value in that win if you can get the win. And so is the juice worth the squeeze or not? That's what we're all tasked with. And so I don't know yet about Notre Dame. We'll see. Because I think the committee's got to show us what happens now and what's the value that they're placing on strength of schedule. And are we going to let a 9-3 team in as an at-large? We'll find out. And I think that this year is going to be a great test to that of what that looks like.
Okay.
This is terrible.
All right. The least egregious of the audio I'm going to play for you.
This one made me mad when I seen it. Because
I'm still mad.
Because it's like, I can't stand the fact that you continue to make the SEC feel like they just are unbelievably, like, it's just the best thing in the world.
Best conference ever.
And I don't.
Greatest conference ever.
It's not that you lost to Ohio State, because that loss wasn't even. You lost by what? Was it 7 points?
Yeah, 14-7.
That was a great game.
A 3-point game. You lost a 3-point game to a team that was number one for the entire year. That's not the reason you didn't make it. You didn't make it because you lost to Florida, who was like 4-8. And you need to stop this whole, well, you know, if we lost to 2 SEC schools. No. You lost an egregious game. Florida was horrible last year.
That's a horrible loss.
And you lost.
Yes.
Even instead of that one, maybe if you didn't have to lose to them, you would have been fine. Like, I don't understand this whole notion of that because you play one big school at one out-of-conference big school game, that's what kept you out.
They're like, just
that's stupid.
Here's what's changed so much about how the SEC coaches now talk about their conference is they're baking in a Florida loss or like that equivalency, right, of a team that had no business beating Texas, right? Florida was not good last year. But they're baking in the big schools are like, well, because our conference is so tough, you know one of those schools is just going to get up and snipe us. So we're going to have a loss like that. We're obviously going to lose to one of the like top 5 teams if we have one on our schedule. We can't be expected to beat them. So we know we're going to build in basically 2 losses in the SEC. They're all conceding that that's likely to happen. What their argument is that you can't go out of the conference and have a third game that you could potentially lose because we already know we've got 2 built into our 9-game schedule. What happened to the SEC? That is some of the biggest loser talk I have ever heard.
To that point, I have now, first of all, Sark has been crying about this the whole offseason.
Yes,
this
he has.
Is about the 15th time that he said something about losing to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And he basically, oh, let's see if the committee is going to let a 9-3 team in. You know what? I'm no longer worried about Texas this year. Ohio State's going to go down in there and beat ass. You know why? Because Ohio State's been in Sark's head all for about a year now.
No, it's because of that video you sent me the other day.
There's some good TikToks out there from the Texas players. Go check them out. They're awesome. Hilarious. Man, yeah. I am, it's really, like his speech, again, I like at least that he acknowledged, hey, to be great, you have to take risks. But then he undercut that by saying, well, we're playing Ohio State this year. We know that. That's a big risk. You got to take risks to be good. However, next year and the year after, when we could take another risk, which is playing Notre Dame, well, we got to wait and see if the committee will give us what we need. Because it's like, all right, we'll take the risk that we're currently contractually obligated to take, but we won't opt into more risk because, well, we don't want to be worried about the committee letting us in. We want to have that built in that we know the committee will let us in, even with our expected three losses, is kind of what it sounds like.
I hate to tell people, I hate to tell them this, but like, they're not who they once were. The conference is not what they once were.
No.
And I think they're last to know it. I think they're the last ones to know.
They are. They absolutely are.
Because if you do just the bowl games, because that's how we like to do. We like to do Big Ten versus SEC in bowl games. Haven't the Big Ten been beating them majority of the bowl games?
Well, but where
they're not playing their players.
They have an argument for that. They have
you've been losing. The Big Ten's been kind of beating you in a lot of these games.
You know who has an argument for everything? When like everyone else outside of there can say, this looks not cool, like this looks bad, this looks fake, this looks, you know, like you're making a lot of weird kind of connections here, all that stuff. When people defend something so hardcore like that, usually the only thing I've ever seen other than the SEC doing that, everything else I've seen that mirrors that is cult. Like it's a cult where everyone else outside is like, do they know that they sound insane? And then you talk to them and they're like, well, no, I know you think that sounds insane, but here's why that's not insane. They've always got some explanation for it. Here's Lane Kiffin, a guy who, by the way, left one SEC school to go coach another SEC school. So I just want to point out that like he didn't have to do that. He could have taken a job elsewhere if he doesn't like coaching in the SEC. Here is what Lane Kiffin said about what the selection committee must do for the SEC.
I just think that it's going to cause issues that we've already seen. Until we can get to a world where people can actually look at teams and say, that team that is 9-3 with their schedule is a better team than that 11-1 in a different conference, which now I think we aren't even close to doing that. I think it causes a problem.
That's loser talk.
That is, again, they're baking in three losses. They're just out and out assuming that they are going to have three losses.
Did he just say that they need to look at a 9-3 team versus an 11-1 team?
Well, Tyvus, see, this is clearly
what he just said.
Let me explain it to you because you don't know ball. Let me just help you out. What he's getting at is that if you are in the Big Ten and you're 11-1, that's basically like going 4-8 in the SEC. Like you can't even equate the two because they're not even the same. These conferences are so different. Wasn't it John Summerall? I think it was him. One of the guys in the SEC media days. I think it was the Florida coach who said, growing up, man, there were three conferences I knew of. AFC, NFC, SEC.
Yep, that was him.
That's their belief system, man. They are in a cult. They genuinely think that if you lose three games, that's the same as losing one game in any other conference. And I mean, it depends on the schedule. I think we could all agree that if Ohio State loses three games this year in their current schedule, that would be a way different scenario than if they lost three games with last year's schedule. We could agree with that, right?
Yeah.
This is a tougher schedule this year. Mm-hmm. I can agree that if Wisconsin last year only lost three games, we would say that's fairly impressive.
Yeah.
They had one of the toughest.
They had to win. Sure. Yeah.
But I don't think that I would be making the argument that those teams should be getting in the playoffs even with their tougher schedule because they had three losses. The SEC coaches are moving that. And by the way, didn't they get a three-loss team in last year?
Yeah, Alabama.
So you got that, and you're still complaining that you didn't get more of them in? I don't understand what the complaint is. Now, because they know now they're going from eight conference games to nine. So they have one fewer date where they can put the Citadel on there and they actually have to play a real school. So because of that, they're all panicked. They're building in the fact that they're going to lose games.
I understand that just looking at the loss column doesn't determine which team is better than another team, but at some point, what goes on the field has to matter. And the SEC had 5 of the 12 teams in the playoff last year and still couldn't make a national championship appearance. They want even more. I don't get their logic.
I'll tell you what, and we didn't even play the most egregious audio. Because we have some from Nick Saban that just will...
Tricky Nick.
All right, we come back. You will hear from Nick Saban, and I will play you this audio, and I cannot promise you that I will be able to stay sane when I play it. But that's coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning for our West Side drivers. 70 eastbound, just passing 142. We do have a crash blocking that right shoulder. Our friends in Canal Winchester, 33 westbound. We've got some lane closures as you push into Gender Road this morning. And then on the east side, we're also watching a disabled vehicle on the ramp from 70 westbound to 270 southbound. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school... Blast the volume on this show. You won't have any more problems. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Brandon said in the YouTube chat, Lane Kiffin doesn't put the shopping cart back. Yeah, that's about right. I feel like Lane Kiffin probably has a lot of things that I would disagree with him on how he lives his life, but whatever. The main thing I disagree with on Lane Kiffin is just, can you sound any less charismatic? I don't get how people follow this guy to do anything. Listen to this, like... nerdy backroom accountant talk to you about the power of one of the biggest programs at LSU is where he coaches. Listen to this guy.
I just think that it's going to cause issues that we've already seen until we...
I don't know if I feel like you should... Hey, guys, we got to go out and win this game.
How is this guy successful? It's the same thing I have whenever I hear Lil Wayne talk. Like, I know it's not his talking that he is known for. It's his rapping. But, like, when I hear Lil Wayne talk now, I don't know how he produces the sounds out of his mouth that are successful that give him, like, millions and millions of dollars. Because... when I hear him talk, it also, it sounds a little...
I just think that...
it's like a weird...
it's going to cause issues that we've already seen.
This is the guy, Lane Kiffin? That's your charismatic leader right there?
I guess Lil Wayne was in town last night. Tyvus, were you there?
No!
I didn't know he was in town.
I got a text message last night as I was going to bed, and they was like, did you know that Lil Wayne is in town? I said, Lil Wayne truly has fallen off a little bit. Because
you finally admit it? I've been trying to tell you this for a while. This is something...
Lil Wayne in town would have been like... we'd have been giving tickets away.
Yeah. Well, he was in town and we were.
I didn't know nothing about it. Like, wow.
Maybe he doesn't need that.
I would like to hear from someone who went.
Yeah, did you go? Let us know.
If it was good. I saw him 15 years ago and it was great. And I'm sure it wasn't last night. But I would love to be proven wrong.
Well, I saw him. When did I? Was that
last? You said it was like 2 years ago.
It was either last year or 2 years ago. And it was, well, I mean, it was.
It was your first concert, correct. So I feel like it shouldn't count.
Exactly.
Please, if you've seen Lil Wayne before, last night was at least your second time seeing Lil Wayne. Let us know.
I do feel like ever since he did the theme song for Skip's Bayless's show on
Undisputed,
FS1,
yes.
Ever since that happened, I think that's where we probably jumped the shark, where it's just like, all right, we've surpassed the time where you are at the cutting edge of cool. Maybe still good, maybe Andy, still relevant.
Andy said he went.
Oh, yeah?
He said 2 Chainz open. 2 Chainz
wow.
Was there? Ooh, we might have missed
old
some.
Titty boy?
I didn't know that. I didn't know about that.
We might have missed out on something.
I've seen 2 Chainz in concert, too. He was great. But I've seen them both in their peaks. You see, I'm against going and seeing old men in concerts, and I know that upsets people.
You don't want to see, you wouldn't want to see, like,
especially rap.
How old is old men, though? Because
it depends,
like,
on the genre.
How old's Lil Wayne? Is he 40? Is he even 40? I don't think
Lil Wayne is... 44.
Oh, yeah, is he really? He's older than me? God, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure he's 40. If he's 43, probably about to be 44.
Did you hear the story he told about his mom?
927.
Yeah. And the baby?
What you mean?
Lil Wayne told a story. We don't have the audio, obviously, but he was on some show. I think he did an interview with of all, Lil Wayne.
Lil Dicky.
Yeah, I think he was on his YouTube channel.
I haven't watched the full thing, but I've seen clips from it.
The clip I saw of it was him talking about how when he was 14, his mom said, "You're on tour and I miss having you around the house. I didn't realize this is what it's going to be like," because he started very early.
Mm-hmm. Said he'd been doing it since he was like 11.
Yeah, but I guess when he was 14 is when he got signed and he went out on tour and he was gone for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom said, "I don't like that you're alone. I feel alone at the house." And then she basically, from what he said, encouraged him to have a baby with someone that then she would watch and take care of.
So Latoya, his baby mama, so Reginae, his oldest daughter.
That's what he claimed was that that's what he said was that basically, like, he had a kid when he was 14. I guess it must be her that
it would be Reginae. That's his oldest daughter.
That's one. Good that you know all that. But well, two, like, I'm just saying, that's a crazy story where mom's like, "Give me a baby with your girlfriend."
That's crazy.
And then I will raise the baby or whatever the case is.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
Like, but you know, it was different back then, you know.
No, it wasn't. What time period is this?
Time change.
It's not time change.
That was probably normal.
Not normal. I was alive when that happened. So were you. So was Dylan. This wasn't the 1870s. Yes, what are we talking about?
If this was 200 years ago, valid point, Tyvus.
What are we talking about? Tyvus, it was probably...
He said he's 44? It was in the 90s.
I was in the 90s. I was there. I was 14 in
Chris
the 90s. My mom didn't say, go have sex with someone so I can have a child.
In the early 90s and 80s, Chris Collinsworth was dating... Under 18.
He wasn't dating. He said he was attracted. Yes. Still bad.
But like
bad.
That was more acceptable back then, I guess.
No, it was not.
It should not have been. That's bad.
Carl Malone was also doing stuff. It wasn't okay.
What I am saying is, like, whatever you think of Lil Wayne, if you're like, "Wow, he has too many tattoos for my taste," or "I'm not sure about every life choice he's ever made." Fair enough, but also if your mom is telling you to have a baby at 14 so she can raise it, that's also not a thing I ever experienced. So I'll go a little easier on him on, like, maybe some of the, you know, decisions or whatever, the weirdness that I may see. Right, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, SEC coaches. Somehow we got there. This is Nick Saban.
Oh, my goodness.
Nick Saban was on ESPN and SEC Network all day yesterday saying the absolute most insane things I've ever heard come out of a coach's mouth. Certainly most any good coach. No one of Nick Saban's caliber have I ever heard say stuff like this. Here is Nick Saban talking about the idea that the Big Ten has surpassed the SEC.
Whoever wins a national championship doesn't define who has the best conference.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best conference gets defined by how many good teams do you have from top to bottom. And I think the SEC has a lot of good teams from top to bottom. So I do think that the Big Ten has had three really, really good football teams. I mean, Michigan had a great team, beat us in overtime in the playoffs, you know, 3 years ago. Ohio State, Indiana, they had really, really good teams. We continued last year. We had five teams in the playoffs, you know, as an SEC conference, which says that there's, you know, pretty good depth in this league. And a couple other teams, Vanderbilt and Texas, could have got in. So there's a lot of good teams in the SEC. I think every coach is trying to get his team to play at the highest level possible and hopefully get the best results possible. And if that leads to a championship, that's the ultimate goal. But I don't think they feel pressure just because somebody else won a couple championships.
Cap. First of all, the last part of it is cap. Secondly, he's out of his mind. He truly, truly is out of his mind. And this is what you have to do when you not winning championships. You got to find a way to justify, well, you know, the top of the Big Ten is better, but, you know, we top to bottom have the better conference. No, you don't.
No.
Well, it's not.
This is an argument that does not matter. Like,
who gives a damn if Kentucky would beat Purdue?
Who cares?
I do not care.
You know what? You can have it. I will give you Kentucky better than Purdue. Hang the banner. Go ahead. I'll print one for you. I'll send it to Kentucky better than Purdue 2026. You can have it. What the hell are we talking about? Who's the better conference in the NFL, the AFC or the NFC? I don't know, and I don't care. The answer is the Seahawks are your Super Bowl champs. That's all we effing cared about ever. Who gives a bleep which one's the better conference?
It's really,
what does that matter?
I can't believe this is where Nikki is nowadays.
I can. But like, you know what? I'm with you. No, I can't.
Just, like, it is what it is.
I've become accustomed to him being this weird, like, SEC homer out of nowhere.
He said that just because you win the championship,
Tyvus, don't make you Tyvus. That's... I will say this. I've become used to Nick Saban talking like this now because he started doing this ever since he retired. But what I'm saying is when he was coaching and it came known that he was going to retire, I pictured a guy who would show up on ESPN and be like, yeah, tell you what, it wasn't like that when I coached. I thought he would be taking shots at all these loser coaches who could never touch his greatness. And he would be like, yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, I guess it's how we do it now in the SEC. Everybody else is just okay with mediocrity. I would never have accepted that. I thought that's what we were going to get from this guy. Instead, we've got him going out there and defending the likes of Kalen DeBoer and defending the likes of some of these coaches who do not have the pool, do not have the ability, do not have a championship winning mentality. He's defending them. And apparently stumping in ways that I've never seen a man stump before for a conference that is losing its credibility second by second and day by day.
You know what? This is the award. This is when I think about like how the Big Ten has taken over for the last 3 years. I think about NIL. Why didn't we do it sooner?
We could have ended this 20 years ago.
Oh, man, Nick would have been, he would have been jobless.
Yeah. We would have all been like, this Nick Saban? I don't even, who is this guy? I
think he coached. We could have did it sooner.
This defensive coach who's playing in, I guess he coaches in the NFL now. He's like a defensive coordinator. Not a good head coach, but whatever. He's fine defensive coordinator. That's how we talk about Nick Saban. If we had NIL back in 2001, like 2000, 2001, he never would have existed. He would have stayed at Michigan State.
He said this.
No, I'm you think that's bad? I have another one from Nick Saban that may be even worse. I'll play it for you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. A couple crashes to flag for you on the west side, 70 eastbound, just passing 142. We've got the right shoulder blocked off as crews clear out an issue there. Our friends in Canal Winchester, 33 westbound, as you push into Gender Road, we've got a crash this morning. Crews are working to clear out. And then on the east side as well, the ramp from 70 westbound to 270 southbound blocked off a little bit because of a disabled vehicle. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Guardians split a four-game set with the Minnesota Twins. The Guards dropped the final two games of the series, including a 3-1 loss yesterday, despite seven innings of shutout ball from Gavin Williams. The Guardians will try to get right tonight in Tampa Bay when they take on the Rays at 7:10. The Cincinnati Reds did not play yesterday, but they'll be back on the diamond in St. Louis today. You can catch coverage of tonight's game after the conclusion of the Buckeye Show at 8 o'clock, followed by first pitch at 8:15. And finally, according to a congressional source who spoke to ESPN, the controversial Protect College Sports Act is not expected to be put to a full vote in the U.S. Senate before Congress takes its recess in August. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit BMIFCU.org/Visa.
1 of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Ohio State fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here. Join us August 6th through 8th at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State's football training camp, presented by Safe Flight and Bob's Discount Furniture. Watch practice live, get autographs, take photos with select players, and experience the start of a new season up close. Tickets are limited and going fast. Just $48 for general admission, or upgrade to the VIP for shaded seating, refreshments, and more. Secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026.
You know, it's funny. Fish dropped that read off, and I just saw the headline that said Ohio State Training Camp, and I thought, oh, it's going to be a live read saying, come join us as we broadcast live from there.
Has nothing to do with us.
No, it has nothing to do with us. It's all about go buy the tickets to go to this. Man, game has changed. We is all I'm saying.
We're included.
We're included.
We're in the package.
I see. That's good. I'm in the. You know what it says on my jersey? Me. I'm like Ricky Bobby. That's what's on my shirt.
Me.
It says me. T-Bone and Tyvus. Us. I guess not me. Us.
Team of me.
That's right. Nick Saban. So I played you the audio of him saying, it doesn't matter who wins the championship. What matters is who's the best conference, which is a great way to move the goalposts, right? Because you can't measure that.
He can move that all he want. Ain't nobody buying that.
Well, I don't. I think SEC fans are buying it. I think there's some people in the media who feel that way because they're like, well, the best conference top to bottom, which we've never cared about, by the way.
If Ohio State or Big Ten school wins it again, they might.
I've never had Big Ten conference pride because I've always thought the losers in the SEC do that. And I don't mean like Alabama fans necessarily or Georgia fans. I'm talking about the people who root for like Mississippi State who are like, SEC just means more. It's like, you won three games, dude. Just pipe down. You're not the reason that anybody thought that conference was good, except for like a couple years when you had Dak Prescott. Like, you're not responsible largely for the reputation of the SEC. I always thought that was a loser mentality. So I never liked it when it would be like, well, Ohio State lost, but hey, it's cool that Michigan State's in the Big Ten. No, I don't care about them. I'm not like that. But now, because of how this SEC conversation has gone, I kind of would like to see a Big Ten team win it again just to have four straight. I want it to be the Buckeyes, obviously. I can't find myself rooting for Michigan. That is probably a line I won't cross.
I don't think you have to worry about that this year.
Fair enough. But I'm just saying, like,
not as long as Bryce Underwood is the quarterback.
Yep. Yep. Accurate. Fine. Here, though, is Nick Saban in what I think may be an even more egregious statement than what he made in the last segment when I played you the audio of him saying conference matters more than who wins the championship. It's him talking about his high hopes for the SEC this fall.
We are so good. Everybody makes a big deal out of being able to beat us. I don't mean they're better than us, and it doesn't mean that just because you win the championship that you have a better conference. Sure. It just means you have one better team. We had five teams in the playoffs last year. I think we'll have that many teams in the playoffs again. They have to play each other. And it's a special thing with a special team who has things go their way.
That's loser talk.
Dude, did you ever think you would hear Nick Saban say, just because you beat us doesn't mean you're better than us? What? What planet am I on? Did we cross into another dimension where the losers run the world and the winners are the ones sucking their thumbs? What happened here? Who is this guy? Does he own a Geo Metro dealership and not a Cadillac and Mercedes dealership? Who is this Nick Saban? What happened?
He hanging his hat on that although they don't win their championships anymore. That their floor is better than ours. That's
wild.
That's where they at. That's all. What else do they got to say?
They
used to be. Well, I mean, just go back and look at the national championships. Look who win them all. I'm just saying. You can't say that anymore. You can't even go as far as to say, look at bowl season. Look who's winning in the bowl games. You can't even say that no more. So you have to hang your hat on something to get motivation, and it's. Our floor is the best floor of all conferences.
I now understand. It took me a second to understand, but I now understand why to them it makes sense that they just break away from the rest of the NCAA.
Oh, no.
Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right. All the games that matter are played in the SEC. It doesn't matter that they haven't even appeared in the last three national championships because they have a better conference and all the great football is being played there. So why even consider any other conference having the best team in the country? Have the SEC crowned as the national champion. I'm completely on board with them leaving now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The fact that this whole conversation about we may break away.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go have fun over there. Like, what do they even, that they've just convinced themselves that they are the greatest conference ever. And if they win championships, well, that's clearly proof that they're the greatest conference. But if they don't win championships, somehow now that is also proof that they are the greatest conference because they just beat each other up so much that how could they possibly win? Did you catch the little loser excuse he had in there about how five teams, they had five teams in the 12-team playoff that we have. Five.
None of them made it to the big game.
Let me help out the SEC grads. The math on that is like almost 50% of the teams in the tournament were your teams.
Neither of your teams
in the championship game were SEC teams. Mm-mm. And he said in there, we had five teams. That means they had to play each other. So, okay. So to help out the SEC now, we need to form a 12-team playoff where they get five or more teams in. And we also need to structure it in a way that they don't play each other. I don't know how you do that. Like, there's five teams out of 12. There's going to be a couple matchups where, like, Georgia, was it Georgia and Oklahoma that played last year or Alabama?
It was Alabama and Oklahoma and then Georgia and Ole Miss.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So those are guarantees that one of those two teams from the SEC will move on.
Indiana played Oregon.
Yes, that also, and by the way, the Big Ten had fewer teams in the playoff, and yet one of the teams, I wish it was Ohio State, but it wasn't, one of the Big Ten teams made it to the championship game and won that too. Did the ACC have five teams in the playoff this year? No, they barely got one in, and yet they fought about which one it should be, and that team got to the championship game. Like, how have we fallen to this where Nick Saban is out here saying it? Could you imagine if the Cardinals this year were like, guys, yeah, I don't care what our record was. We play in the best conference. We play in the best division in the NFL. We play in the NFC West. Because look who won the championship. Like, that's loser talk, right? But more loser talk would be if the Bucks were doing it, saying the NFC South is actually the far superior division. Who cares? The championship is owned by the Seahawks in the NFL. No NFC fan should be taking pride in like, hey, man, we play in the tougher division. Who cares? It's so dumb.
I want Dan Lanning next week at Big Ten Media Days to be like, we're the best team in the country. We've only lost to the national champion the last 2 years. Like, how
ask us how those games went, by the way. Don't ask us, like, did we get blown out in any of those games? That's loser talk. Stop asking me questions like that. We, though, play in the best conference because we lost to the champions. Like, I wouldn't accept that from Ryan Day. If Ryan Day comes out next week at the Big Ten Media Days and says, hey, guys, we lost to the national champs. And you lost to the runners-up to the national champs, right? You lost to Miami and Indiana. That's true, but that doesn't make me feel better as an Ohio State fan. Does it make you feel better, Tyvus?
I'm still mad at Nick Saban. I never thought I'd see him here.
I did expect more out of him.
I really did. Like, I thought this would be a guy who's just a straight shooter, just tell it like it is. And this man is really trying his hardest to make it seem like the SEC is really like that.
Well, I have some news for you, because I've told you the SEC is becoming its own cult. Well,
you know what's happening?
Becoming, it's there.
His own former players is even saying. I mean, you got James Smith from that transfer from Alabama. Like, oh yeah, that Big Ten way faster. Stroker, this is like,
yeah. Yeah, this, well, you know what, we had our guys, the in-house band, Art and the Official Intelligence. Since it is kind of becoming its own religion, we thought, why not have a little praise and worship song for the SEC? Here you go. Enjoy the singing here today.
They whine on television with sad puppy eyes. Got a sweaty red face and a mouth full of lies. Even though the Big Ten stuffed them in a locker, they play the Big Ten, they holler and squeal, think they can win it all, but let's be real, SEC.
coming up, the NFL owners did a number on keeping those players' salaries down. We'll give you the latest example of that when we come back. It's T-Bone and Tybus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Still watching heavy delays on the southeast side. 33 westbound as you're pushing into Gender Road. We've got the left lane blocked off and delays building in those westbound lanes because of a crash this morning. Also, drivers on the west side, watch for delays on 70 eastbound. The right shoulder is blocked off as you pass that 142 area coming in from West Jefferson. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your
family. The Reds are on the Fans' family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have filtered sunshine throughout the day. After that very nice start to the day, we'll end up around 80 this afternoon. Just a touch warmer than the past couple of days. For the overnight hours, partly cloudy skies, lower 60s for a low. Saturday, still looking good. Partly sunny skies, a touch more humidity with highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Just a reminder, Tybus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tybus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tybus.
By the way, if you miss any part of the show, you can always get it on the podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, just search T-Bone and Tybus. Click on it, like it, subscribe it. I mean, maybe even follow it, whatever your app does. Even leave a comment or rate it. That would help, too. But all that, the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. But I know we get people that listen sometimes throughout, you know, all over the country who check us out. So we appreciate you guys. If you are a dedicated podcast listener, maybe you're listening to this on Sunday as you're mowing your grass. Thank you. That, like, I'm talking, Tybus, to the future people who are listening. There's people here in the moment right now with us.
But the people that will listen on the podcast.
These I just want you to know I see you out there and I feel you. I hear you. Sorry, the SEC's got me a little worked up today. I felt like a little televangelist moment there. Come on, I apologize for that. So I saw something yesterday in the NFL news that made me pause and realize just how diabolical the NFL owners are. And I have to be honest, how brilliant they are, too. But diabolical. Did you see Fernando Mendoza's rookie contract?
I did. I seen that either last week or a couple of days ago, it was reported. It was a big thing because he hadn't signed his first round deal, and it was because he wanted a lump sum of payment, and they wanted to do payment plans and all of that. And then yesterday,
and they also didn't want Shamar Stewart to get a deal in his contract where if he got convicted of a crime, they'd have to pay him. For some reason, that clause had to be in there. From the Bengals last year, whatever. It was all very murky.
So I seen all of that, and then yesterday, boom, I see the deal's done. So I'm guessing that they gave him the lump sum.
The number, well, I don't know how they worked out the full financials, but here was the thing that struck me. So it's a 4-year deal, and obviously the rookie wage scale has been, you know, slotted for a long time, but they keep raising it because of, you know, the salary cap going up. Rising tide raises all boats, so the rookie wages keep going up too. I saw he got 4 years, $57 million guaranteed.
$50 million?
So I thought that number struck me because I remember when Sam Bradford signed his deal back with the then St. Louis Rams.
The one who started all of this.
Sam Bradford.
Well, he more ended all of this.
Well yeah, I guess.
That's right.
But a lot of people blame Jamarcus Russell. It was Sam Bradford who ended all the old CBA, put the cap on everything.
Do you guys remember what the number was for Sam Bradford that caused this whole thing to break and everybody to freak out?
I thought it was $60 million guaranteed.
Yeah. Not guaranteed, but I thought his contract was $60 million. Yeah. If I can.
His rookie deal was a 6-year deal worth up to $78 million.
Oh, man.
But it featured this specific number, $50 million guaranteed.
$50 million?
So when I saw, because I thought, okay, well, Fernando Mendoza got $57 million guaranteed yesterday. And that's the first time I could remember a rookie quarterback, first overall rookie quarterback taken, getting over $50 million in guarantees, which is the Sam Bradford threshold, I'm calling that. Mm-hmm. So I went back and looked, and sure enough, Cam Ward last year, when he went to the Titans, his guaranteed money in his contract, according to the internet, was $48
million. Okay, so this is the first time we hit 50.
How diabolical from these owners, man. Because they literally went, when Sam Bradford got $50 million guaranteed, and everybody's, oh my God, that's too much. We can't have that.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't what they, it was because.
They did. The owners were freaking out because they said that's too much money for a rookie. Rookies shouldn't be getting all that.
Well, I mean.
And then they convinced the veteran players.
Wasn't performing. That's what
well,
it was.
Yeah,
if him and Jamarcus Russell went out there and lit it up, I don't think it would have been a thing.
I think it would have been because what they ended up, you know, the owners, they never want to pay the players.
That's true, too.
And what they did when they got to work stoppage time and CBA talk time was they went to the veterans like the Drew Breeses of the world and, you know, some of these other I'm not just trying to blame him, but some of the veteran quarterbacks and said, hey, do you think it's fair that these rookies walk in here with no experience and they're getting similar money to what you guys are getting? I don't think that makes any sense. And the players, the veterans who are on the leadership committee, more or less said, yeah, Trex, I'm with that. I'd rather have more of the money than the rookies. So they convinced some of the veterans to suppress the rookie wage scale and not pay those guys.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm impressed with is that it took from 2010, that's when Sam Bradford signed that deal, to 2026. That's 16 years it took for rookie quarterbacks to get back to what they were making in 20, like that's insane to me.
Yeah.
They essentially gave themselves a 16-year like interest-free payment, if you will, on paying rookie quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
Pretty much, yeah.
Maybe. And of course, 2020-10 money is not the same as 2026 money, so probably $57 million is still less than $50 million in 2010, but the raw numbers are back to what they were 16 years ago. That's insane to me.
No, they did a really good job of coercing the veterans into being like, remember Mario Williams, number one pick in 2006? He got like 6 years, $54 million, and they just went to the other defensive ends. They're like, you think this guy's better than you?
Right.
You think he's better than you?
Right. That's what they did.
Wage scale. Cam Newton got 4 years, $22 million. He was the first overall pick under the rookie wage
scale. That is wild.
And then he went, and
that is wild.
They missed it by 1 year because Cam had a historic rookie year.
Yes.
If they would have pushed that back like 1 year, the players might have had a fight in this. But like to Tyvus's point, it was Sam Bradford and Jamarcus Russell that they were number one picks that didn't pan out. And it's like, you want to continue to pay your number one pick $60 million to do nothing?
Yeah.
That was at the time where it was like, I used to love watching the contracts come out because it was the number two guy, I can't sign until number one sign.
Right.
I can't sign no deal. I got to see what he getting first. Then I can start. We can do it there. So you have to wait till that first pick actually sign, and then it kind of set the tone for every pick after that. So it's crazy.
Yeah. I feel like that was way bigger off season news was like when the rookies are going to sign and for how much. And now obviously it's not because it's all slotted and you have barely anything to negotiate. But yeah, I remember like when, okay, the first two picks signed, when's the third overall pick going to sign? And they need to try to get him in as fast as possible. And it became like a battle of, for the rookies, like, do you want to get into camp sooner? Or do you want to make sure you're getting the right dollar amount based off of the guy that got picked before you?
Yeah. Well, that's where like Fernando Mendoza, the news coming out the other day where it's like, he still hasn't signed his deal. It was a little bit shocking, but never like that felt more like an offseason story that was just, well, we need to cover it because we're kind of bored and the right. NFL media needs something to talk about. So, hey, he hasn't signed his deal. And then like a couple days later, like you said, Tyvus, then he signs it. But yeah, what a crazy thing that is how long it has taken for the rookies to get back to making what they were making in 2010. And the owners are just do you think the value of the NFL teams from 2010 to 2026 has shifted at all? Given that we just saw, who just sold? The Seahawks?
Seahawks.
Yes. Yeah. What was the number? Wasn't it like, was it $9 billion? I think it was nine. It was like $8 or $9 billion, I want to say. I'm just telling you,
they went for $9.612 billion.
Okay. I need to look up what NFL teams were going for in 2010, but I guarantee you it was not $9 billion.
No.
I don't think it was even. No. I think most of them were under $1 billion.
Dallas probably be the only one to even be close to that.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what the NFL. Yeah, here's an article from Forbes. In most valuable NFL teams in 2010. Let's see.
Well, the Rams were bought by Stan Kroenke in 2010, and he bought them for a measly bargain price of $750 million.
There you go. You think the Rams are worth $750 million now with prime real estate in Los Angeles? Now, he moved them. He ripped them out of St. Louis. He built a brand new glistening stadium in what, how Englewood much, or wherever they build it
now.
I bet it's way more than, I'm going to guess it's probably more like $10 billion. That, like, yeah, man. So that's what I'm saying is the owners have probably more than 10x'd their value of their teams. And the quarterbacks that come into the league are now getting the same money they were getting in 2010.
$10.5 billion.
Jeez. $750 million to $10.5 billion estimated worth of the Rams right now. I know they built a stadium. I know he paid his money to help build that. I get all that, but that good man. God. So this is why. Next time there's a CBA bargain, if you ever side with the owners, you're a loser. Like, if you ever are like, oh, I like what the owners do. It's billionaires trying to keep the employees down, man.
$750 million and now it's worth $10.7 billion. Yes!
Think about that. He bought that, and that's the Rams that we're talking about with Sam Bradford. Like, that.
Yeah.
We're right. We're talking about the same stuff. That the quarterback that the Rams hired cost $50 million as a rookie, guaranteed money.
Wow.
The guy who's the number one pick now with the Raiders, another team that moved, by the way, in the Raiders, going to Vegas, their number one pick is also now worth about $50 million, $57 million guaranteed. And meanwhile, the values of these franchises have gone up and up and up. So if you ever wonder why I don't have the owners' backs, that's why, right there. All right, Buckeyes got some good news yesterday on the recruiting front. We'll tell you about it in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. Still watching a crash on the southeast side on 33 westbound. This is leading up to that Gender Road exit. We've got slow-moving traffic due to a crash. Again, 33 westbound leading to Gender Road. Expect those delays. Also seeing some slight delays on the west side. 70 eastbound just passing 142. We've got a crash. Crews are working to clear out. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Sometimes when Tyvus wears khaki pants, I can see the outline of his genitals. There's no joke there. It's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, we have had a lot of discussion today. And we'll play you some more audio of this. The SEC Media Days yesterday was a, I don't know, man. That may have been the craziest day of media I've ever heard from SEC coaches, or really any group of coaches, how they are all just whining and complaining about the fact that they have to play 9 conference games. They are all basically building in 3 losses to their schedule and saying, well, you have to let 3 lost teams in, which, by the way, they did last year, let in 3 lost SEC teams, but... When you hear things like Nick Saban, I mean, I played this earlier. I'll play it again. This is Nick Saban talking about his high hopes for the SEC this year.
We are so good. Everybody makes a big deal out of being able to beat us. I don't mean they're better than us. And it doesn't mean that just because you win the championship that you have a better conference. It just means you have one better team.
Okay. Just because you beat the SEC. Whatever, man. So we'll play you some more audio from that because it's unhinged.
And also, I would
get what these guys are doing.
I would get the back half of his argument if it was just last year. But the Big Ten won the national championship not 1 year, not 2 years, but 3 years in a row. At some point, you gotta think that it's the better conference.
Obviously, Ohio State played Notre Dame in their championship game. Mm-hmm. We obviously know yet last year Indiana played Miami. Who did Michigan play? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
No, Washington.
Washington. Yeah. Okay, so... 3 years in a row where you've had 6 bites at the apple to get one SEC team into the championship game, and it hasn't happened. Not win the championship, get into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been what? Now, I mean, I know at the time they weren't, but it's been 4 Big Ten teams, with Washington being a Pac-12 team at the time. Now they're a Big Ten team.
Technically.
4 Big Ten teams.
Yes.
Notre Dame's an independent. Although they technically align with the ACC, but I'm not giving the ACC credit for that.
And Miami? Who
is Miami is in the ACC, so we'll give them 1.5. Like, whatever. I'm just saying, when you haven't even had one of those teams make it to the actual championship game, I don't know how you can sit there and say we're the best conference. And I know their argument is, well, top to bottom, good. Hang the banner for, I don't know, Kentucky is better than Purdue or whatever, 2 basketball schools that you're now proud that in football, one of them is slightly better than the other one. Who cares?
But this wasn't their rhetoric from 2006 to 2022.
No,
it was about them winning all the championships. And you know what? I don't remember if the bottom of the Big Ten was better than the bottom of the SEC during those years, because I don't give a damn.
No one should.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Care.
It's such a bizarre argument that they're making. So yeah, the SEC, they all can pat themselves on the back and tell themselves that they're great. I am looking forward to the continued downfall. I will root for, obviously I root for the Buckeyes number one. That is usually the number one thing obviously I care about.
It makes you smile to see the downfall.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, my number 1A after Buckeyes winning, the next thing I care about is Michigan losing. Like, all the games they can. I hate Michigan. I want to see them lose every game. I know some Buckeye fans will feel that way. That's fine. I think what has replaced that, or at least is right up there, it might be my 1A this year, is every SEC team in non-conference play getting absolutely smoked. I will be locked in on those games, just praying for their downfall. I hope they don't make it to the, again, I don't usually like to be the guy who roots for the Big Ten or the conference.
Virginia beat Missouri.
Yes.
Houston beat LSU.
At Eli Drinkwitz, by the way, is another loser talk candidate. He's, God.
I can't believe they were your side team last year.
I can't either.
Illinois beat Tennessee.
I need to look and see if we have any Eli Drinkwitz from earlier this week.
Well, Texas beat the Wolverines. Iowa beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't know what they're on, man.
Yeah, I really don't understand.
What do they call, what's the street name that you told me about, heroin? What's it called?
Dog food.
They're on dog food. They're on dog food. That's what it is. Yeah, they're on dog food.
Do you want the Drinkwitz of the tough SEC stadiums or the difficulty of playing the SEC?
Give me the SEC stadiums one, because that one's pretty great.
All right, here
that's one of my favorite things.
I think the one thing that we don't get enough credit for in the SEC is the challenge of the stadiums that we play in the environments that we play in. I think, you know, obviously FIFA World Cup has done a tremendous job of putting our stadiums on display. And the stadiums they're playing in, they're great stadiums, but they're not comparable to the SEC stadiums that you're talking about. I mean, I think yesterday FIFA's World Championship was in front of 80,000. Well, that's 25,000 short of some of these other stadiums that we play in Death Valley and Athens and in Ben Griffin Hill, I think, is 88,000. But, I mean, Knoxville, you know, that's a whole different deal. And there's nothing you can do to remove 20,000 people from a game. That's a tremendous challenge for anybody to walk into. And, hey, we got to play Starkville at night this year with those cowbells. I think that's about 80,000 strong there. That's going to be a real challenge for everybody.
This is
we got to go to Starkville at night.
They really
pull. Will Ferrell's going to be there with a cowbell, man. I don't know what to do about that.
They pulling.
Oh, my God,
man.
We got to play a road game at Mississippi State, guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
Goodness.
Build it in as a loss.
This team last year, by the way, gang, Missouri, Eli Drinkwitz's team, their big non-conference win that they had, which is a game they've ducked for a while, was the Kansas game. Because, you know, Kansas-Missouri border war, it's like a rival game they used to play when they were in the same conference.
Tell me they blew them out.
They beat them 42-31. I don't know that I'd call that a blowout. That was at home. But, yeah, I mean, I was actually...
Missouri ducking Kansas?
Yeah, I think that's how that was.
What world are we
in? Because they moved to the SEC and then they couldn't come to an agreement on when to play those games. But, yeah, they lost to... Their games they lost last year, they lost to Alabama. They lost to Vanderbilt, who was, you know, good at the time, I guess. Top 10 at the time, maybe, when they played.
They get their quarterback back if he's sued for a fifth year.
Oh, yeah. Diego Pavia is available. He got cut by the Ravens. Didn't even make it to camp.
Said he got three options.
That's like your best quarterback in the SEC last year, and he got cut.
Second on the Heisman.
Yeah. Got cut by the... Didn't even make it to camp. Texas A&M, I said they lost to... Who else did they lose to? They lost to Oklahoma. And like you said, they lost to Virginia in the bowl game where they scored a humongous... 7 points in their bowl game against Virginia. So, whatever, man. Every time these guys go out of conference, unless they're playing like crappy, barely Big 12 teams like Kansas, who cares more about basketball than football, they don't do well. But, okay, keep propping up your league.
I mean, again, a Big Ten coach next week can make the same argument. They got a Happy Valley. That's got 100,000. The Big House, 100,000. The Shoe, 100,000. Plus, they got to play at Camp Randall.
Yeah, right, Camp Randall. That's a jump around.
Yes.
That's. I mean, come on. That you got that in the SEC? You don't have anything like that in the SEC.
Jump right.
Would anybody ever, though, in their right mind, actually say, go into Wisconsin, oh my God. I know coaches do that from time to time, right? The week of the game, they say, can't take them lightly. Would any pundit make that case ever for OSU, if they, I don't even remember, is Wisconsin on the schedule? I'd have to
They played at Wisconsin last year.
No, okay, but I'm, all right, yeah. So I'm saying, like, if they had lost that game, would you ever hear any pundits go out and say, hey, look, Ohio State had to go to Wisconsin. They lost. That's a tough play. No, they'd say, Luke Fickell, how did he do that? Because he hasn't been good. Everybody would say it's a shocking loss for the Buckeyes. But yeah, when it happens in the SEC, the equivalent of that, we just chalk it up to like, oh man, SEC is different down there. It's what it is. No, it's not. You guys suck.
They would say, no, they would say it's games that if Ohio State lost, they would say the environment played.
Don't they go to Iowa this year?
Yeah.
Okay. You lose to Iowa, you're telling me that the national punditry would be like, oh, wait, you go to Iowa. You can't come out of there
panic
with them
at night.
No, they would. Everyone would say Ohio State had an easy schedule. They lost one of their easy games. They can't afford to do that because they got to play much tougher games on their schedule. The schedule is very tough. But if they lose one to Iowa, that one will be viewed as not nearly as tough as playing Oregon or USC or Indiana or Michigan even. Those games are different. Speaking of the Buckeyes, four-star quarterback Brady Edmonds announced he'll stay committed to Ohio State after possibly thinking of flipping to UCLA.
Yeah, they was after him. He's from L.A., right?
I believe the HEAC. Yeah, somewhere in Southern California.
He's from Huntington Beach. 6'5", 220, quarterback, 2027 class, four-star.
He's 6'5"?
He's big dude. Big frame dude. Yeah.
I ain't know that.
Number 10 quarterback in the class, composite rank of number 243 overall, but that's good. They have their quarterback in the class for next year, so that's not, you know, I don't know if that makes anybody feel better about losing the running back that you lost in DGG, but this was a guy that they were worried was going to leave. I just had this thought. If UCLA can cause you to flip, then we don't want you. That's what I'm just going to say. If you want to go to UCLA instead of Ohio State, go right ahead. Enjoy the beach and enjoy winning four or five games a year. That's congrats on that. But no, I didn't think that was going to happen. It's not. It appears he's locked in. Like I've said, though, I don't get that worked up about recruiting because I'll, you know, when the guy gets here and actually plays, then we'll talk. Till then, all these guys are just, they're telling you what they plan to do, not what is actually going to happen.
It don't even matter if he signed a letter of intent.
Doesn't matter about that. Doesn't matter if he's here on campus as a freshman. Is he going to play his freshman year? Next year will be his freshman year.
They got to play a significant amount because as we learned with the receivers last year, Quincy Porter and Mylon Graham, they play sparingly over the years, and once the end of the season hit, portal gone.
I mean, what are you going to do if? I mean, the plan next year is for who to be the quarterback, Tavian St. Clair.
You think?
Okay, so I'm just saying, if this guy comes in, probably as a freshman, he's probably not,
unless things have not
winning
gone
the job
well for Julian.
Well, then I told you I don't think he's going to be here. If that happens, I think it's either go to the NFL or go somewhere else. I don't think it's come back for another year. If unless he just decides he wants to stay because he wants to stay.
He pulls like a Dante Moore type of situation.
Yeah, if he's just awesome and finishes like second or third in the Heisman voting and says I want to come back for another year,
Octavian would probably be sick.
Well, then
he'd be like, you selfish.
Yeah. We got a game show coming up next. We'll find out what it is when we come back. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Still heavy delays on the southeast side on 33 westbound. There's a crash at that Gender Road exit that has the left lane blocked. Again, heavy delays on 33 westbound on the southeast side. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan.
Built right.
Buckeye replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
We go 85 yards through the heart of the South. Ohio State versus Alabama in the Sugar Bowl.
Hear Buckeye replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on the Fan. The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tyvus Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship.
T-Bone watched Tyvus Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, we have played plenty of audio from the SEC. We'll play some more of it in 8 o'clock hour because we got lots to play because they are...
Oh, you know what?
I don't know what happened to these guys.
I meant to tell you, I heard the most beautiful words that a husband ever wants to hear.
Oh, what's that?
You were right.
Hey, that's nice. What caused that?
Your chest stick out just a little bit more. It was one of those situations where I said, excuse me, what did you just say? And she wouldn't say it again. Mm. But she admitted that I, Tyvus Powell, was right. So what happened was we got this bottle cleaning machine, and when it ran, it was like this fishy smell in the kitchen.
Oh.
So that's obviously I had jokes, but that's not appropriate for the air. But,
thank you for not sharing your inappropriate jokes.
I had jokes about it. But then I would say, she was like, where is it coming from? So one day I said, it's coming from the bottle cleaner. And she goes, no. I said, I'm telling you, I only smell it when the thing is running. She says, I've ran that thing a bunch of times. I've never smelt it like when it ran. I smelt it other times, but I never smelt it when it ran. Okay. It was one of those ones where, you know, you don't fight it. You know, I said my piece. Yep, right. I said what I think.
Pick your battles.
That's it. I'm gone. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I'm in the kitchen. She goes, you was right. It's the bottle. It is the bottle thing. And I just smile. I just smile. So we got to get a new... Apparently, we got to get a new filter for it to clean up the smell.
Yeah, that's. I don't miss those days of cleaning bottles for the kiddos
It's only for a year. Then they switch to milk. So
and baby food and stuff like that. Yeah. But then you got to, dude. I thought
get
when
them
we
a, get them a get them a double quarter pounder
when we got off of. Yeah, with cheese and bacon.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. No, I remember when the kids, like all of our babies, when they got off of drinking the milk and all that and doing the bottles and they went to like actual food, I was like, oh, this is going to be so much easier. Then I realized you have to stick a spoon in this kid's mouth that does not necessarily always want to eat. And that kid can just spit that back out at you. Hit the spoon with their hand.
Yeah.
Take the plate and throw it over at the wall.
So you cherish the bottle.
And I was like, damn, I missed the bottle days. I really wish we were back on those.
The biggest difference is when you go to change them.
Yeah.
What's in that diaper, when it's just bottles, it's totally different than when it's food.
Those food diapers are different. Those are like, them,
it's time to go get on like that toilet.
It's like you're a grown ass man now. What is happening? What happened? This is not okay. I don't like it at all. All right, Dylan, we got a game show. What's the game show today?
It's Who Said It?
Oh, okay.
Yes. So there's a lot of great sports quotes out there, and I want you guys to tell me who said them.
Okay. Awesome.
Four each for the two of you.
Okay.
Playoffs.
Yeah. How famous are these quotes?
Pretty damn famous.
Great. I will get none of them
the
right.
The one that Tyus alluded to may or may not be one of them.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to start?
Tyus, you go ahead. I'll let you go
first. I'm not going to get it. Go ahead.
All right. Who said this?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Oh, I know that one.
I don't know that one.
You don't? It's old. I mean, it predates. I mean, it's going
on 100 years.
Yeah, it's almost a 100-year-old quote. But it's famous. It's very famous.
John Wooden.
No.
No idea.
No. It's, that was Lou Gehrig.
When
Lou Gehrig, who, you know, had famously ALS, I think, right? Isn't that actually what he had?
Correct.
Wasn't that the
they changed it to Lou Gehrig disease.
Right, after him. But there's a famous Norm Macdonald sketch on SNL that he did in the 90s where he's doing that speech. He's like, I consider myself the luckiest man in the world. And everybody applauds. He's like, I'm joking. What are you talking about? I got a disease that they named after me. No, I don't feel lucky. That was sarcasm.
Yeah, you're going to give me a 100-year-old.
That's okay. All right.
Go ahead with the next one, Dylan. All right, here we go.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Oh, my God.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
That's a former Vikings coach, former Cardinals. That's when he was coaching the Cardinals. That is...
Why can I get that one?
Dennis, why am I blanking on his last name?
Oh, my God.
Why am I blanking on his... Des Green?
There you go.
Jeez. Okay. Whew. I can see the press conference in my head.
Why couldn't I get that one, though?
I wanted yours. I had the Lou Gehrig one queued up, ready to go. Yeah, Dennis Green, when he was coaching It was the Cardinals, right, when he was doing that?
Yeah,
okay. Correct. Go ahead. Next one for Tyus.
All right, Tyus, I'll give you an easy one.
We're talking about practice, man.
Okay.
As Allen Iverson, that was easy.
Yes, that is. That's good. We both would have got that one. Next one up, Dylan. Go ahead.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, were you there when he was there?
No, okay. I was not.
That was Marshawn Lynch during Super Bowl week, of course, famously. One of the all-time greats. Those two guys, by the way, Allen Iverson, Marshawn Lynch, they could do just about anything. I'd have their back. Like I mean, both of those guys, if they came to me and said, hide the gun, I'd be like, yes, sir. And I'd do it. I'd do it. Hide the body. In fact, I'd be there with them. I love both those guys. All right. Next up, Dylan.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Oh, that's oh my! Why am I blanking on his name?
You know it's Schooly Coach. You know it's Schooly Coach.
Blanking on this man's name.
You know it's Schooly Coach.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Oh, he just left.
Yeah, first, he just got fired.
Yes, he just got.
What? Oh my!
Don't you hate it?
What is it?
See, I know this one, I am not helping you.
The top of my head.
First name rhymes with someone who works in afternoons here, or not rhymes. It is the same name as a guy who works from 3 to 6 here in the afternoons. Not Tim.
He doesn't know.
Mike.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Mike.
Pew pew.
I can't think of a man name.
He was built for like cowboys.
Like
what do cowboys shoot? What do they shoot?
Guns?
Mike? Gun?
Van Gundy?
No.
Just Gundy.
Just Gundy. Gundy. Mike Gundy.
I'm not giving him this.
Bear! I know exactly who I'm looking at.
Don't
his
you hate
face.
It though? I had that with Dennis face. Green, where I'm like, I see him. I see his face. I can see the press conference. And I was like,
we didn't quoted this so many times. I can't think
of it. Right, do you have one more?
We got a couple more.
All right, give me one more. I think we'll do that.
All right, I'll do this one for you.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. No. When you try me, you're a third receiver like Crabtree. That's the result you're going to get.
I want his full name. Say his full name.
I don't remember. Is it? It's obviously your agent, your guy that you like to play the duty with, Richard Sherman. Richard Kevin Sherman.
Bang.
Yes. Bang. There we go. Yeah. We can do the last one. Give one more for Tyvus if you got it.
Playoffs? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Jim Mora, man. That's a classic right there.
Not senior. Not senior. Because it's not Jim Mora Jr., right? Don't they have different middle names or something? There's something with that where, like, Jim Mora, his son, is not like a junior. He's Jim something Mora, but it's different than dad's name.
They didn't put, like, the two behind it?
I don't know. It's just, I think they're both Jim Moras. Yeah, I know. But this is the older Jim Mora. Yeah, to your point. All right, good stuff there, Dylan, on the voicemail, or on the game show. By the way, the voicemail line, it's open, 614-460-8010. Add it to your phone. Make sure you call it if you are ever pissed off about something. Maybe you're pissed off about college sports being overrun by money and transfer portal. Well, if you're waiting for Congress to save it, I got some bad news for you. We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, Central Ohio. We are still watching a crash on the southeast side on 33 westbound. This is right at the Gender Road exit, the left lane. Slightly blocked off as crews clear out a crash from earlier this morning. Expect heavy delays in those westbound lanes pushing into Gender Road. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your...
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Guardians split a 4-game set with the Minnesota Twins. The Guards dropped the final 2 games of the series, including a 3-1 loss yesterday. Despite 7 innings of shutout ball from starter Gavin Williams, the Guardians will try to get right tonight in Tampa Bay when they take on the Rays at 7:10. The Cincinnati Reds did not play yesterday, but they will be back on the diamond in St. Louis today. You can catch coverage of tonight's game after the conclusion of the Buckeye Show at 8 o'clock, followed by first pitch at 8:15. And finally, according to a congressional source who spoke to ESPN, the controversial Protect College Sports Act is not expected to be put to a full vote in the U.S. Senate before the Congress takes recess in August. This update is sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Together to serve you better. Schedule today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Having a lot of good discussion in the YouTube chat. Always appreciate everybody who jumps in there. You go to YouTube, 971 The Fan, click on T-Bone and Tyvus. You will be in, and you can enjoy all the different discussion. Derek in the chat said, Big Ten fans are delusional. The top of the Big Ten is good. Rest is ass. Bottom and middle of the SEC. Mollywop the same of the Big Ten. Rutgers and Maryland. And crap. LMAO. All right.
What?
Yeah, he's saying like Rutgers and Maryland suck. And
Okay. All right.
Good. I like I've said, the SEC can hang the banner all they want on that. Go
they
right ahead.
They can win these hypothetical games because, like Tyva said, the only point there is to really be made is when they play each other in bowl games, and the Big Ten has dominated them.
And
they want to say they don't count.
They then say those, and I understand it because we also feel like that around here. Like when Missouri beat Ohio State in the Big Ten, or in the Big Ten, in the bowl game after, that was when Ohio State lost to Michigan. Am I wrong? One of the years they lost to Michigan, they lost 4 years in a row, I guess. But that year where Burn the Boats ended up playing quarterback, and how'd that go, right? That didn't work out. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I don't want to count that game, but that's an SEC Big Ten matchup that I guess I have to acknowledge went in Missouri's favor. We all know Ohio State didn't take that seriously. So if you want to throw the bowl record out, fine, but what is the measuring stick the SEC teams want? Because there's more opportunities to see meaningful games with the SEC and the Big Ten than ever in the playoffs. And the last 3 years, that has not gone well for the SEC. So I don't know what their argument then is. Well, we were so banged up from our regular season, which is just a meat grinder. You can't expect us to play well in the playoffs against all these rested Big Ten teams. Okay, then I guess we have to throw out all the playoff results from when the SEC won all those playoffs back when it was four teams. I don't understand. Like, what is your measuring stick? You have to pick one. You can't just keep moving those goalposts around.
Devin Brown is still in college.
Yeah, he's backup at Cal, wasn't he?
No.
Oh, he was at Cal. That's where last year.
He's at Weber State.
Oh, man.
Oh. Weber State, right?
I mean, excuse me, Weber State.
Yeah.
Home of Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard, yes. I was going to say. There we go.
I understand them saying that the bowl games really don't matter, but I would rather have, you know, Tennessee beat Illinois on the field and Iowa beat Vanderbilt in the Quest Bowl than just hypothetically say that Team A from SEC is better than Team B from the Big Ten.
You can't say that because you can't say that the bowl games don't matter because they like to cherry pick. So they'll say something like this. They'll say, well, of course the Big Ten beat us. We didn't have any of our guys playing. But then they'll say, well, Texas beat the Wolverines. It's just like,
yeah.
Right. So do they matter or do they don't?
I don't know, man. They just pick and choose their arguments. So we've got Morning Breath coming up at 8:15. If you want to hear some truly unhinged comments from some SEC former and current coaches, that's pretty much what we're going to play for you at 8:15. So stick around for that. 8:17, I should say. Also, before we get into the little congressional action about college football, I saw this from a little website called 10TV.com. Go there every day to get my news. Yeah, right. Me either. This is a headline that says apparently they've been cracking down over the last week on speeding on I-270.
Mm.
Ohio State Highway Patrol has cracked down on speeding in the last week. They started this July 19th. They said after 1 week of this crackdown, they had over 700 enforcement actions, including citations, warnings, and other traffic stops. But here was the number that grabbed me. In the last week alone, the highway patrol stopped 11 drivers who were going over 100 miles an hour on 270.
Miles Garrett.
Look, I like to be a little liberal with the right pedal.
You do the dash.
I like to throw. I like to put a little extra weight on it from time to time and get around a stupid, you know, semi truck that's slowing down the lane. I get it. But I'm telling you, 11, we've all said
over
this
over 100 miles
everyone who commutes, if you don't have to commute, maybe you haven't experienced this, but like since COVID, I think we've all kind of experienced where the freeways around here, and maybe it's elsewhere too, but like 270 has definitely felt like if you're not doing 80, you feel like you're going 40 out there because everyone just blows past you. And there's times where I'm sitting there, I've been doing 75 and someone comes up on me. I'm like, oh, how fast are they going? I'm doing 75 or 80 yeah. and they're doing like 20, 30 more than
you know,
me.
You know what I do?
Apparently.
I politely move out the way yeah. and let them go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. absolutely. Go on. Good luck with that.
Go ahead.
I don't know how I feel about this because so I live off of Sawmill. So I'm a regular 270 commuter.
Yeah.
My daughter spends half her time in Grove City. I take 270 down there to pick her up. I take 270 to 71 to see my parents all the time. I'm on 270 more than just about anyone in this city, I would bet.
Sure.
I zoom on 270.
Well,
I'm glad you mentioned this story.
It's kind of
because when I'm on it later today, yeah. I will be chilling out.
I mean, I'm also mentioning it as a heads up for any of yes. you who do like to zoom. Just be watching, really watching.
Crazy, I'm gonna be completely honest. There's been times that I've been going 85 on 270, have been getting passed by people flipping me the bird. Like,
trust
what
me,
are you doing, pal?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I mean, I have a car that can definitely get up to speed when it needs to. I try not to because I don't want to take the risk. I don't want to get a speeding ticket. It's just not safe, right? I don't think it's safe, personally, to drive 100 miles an hour on 270. Now, if it was when I come in, when you come in, and some of us, like when we get here in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, it's a little clearer than it is at 8 a.m. I acknowledge that, yes. but I still don't go 90 miles an hour because it's just, they set the speed limit. I try to stick roughly to it. Okay. I may go 10 over. I'm going to tell on myself there. I may go like 10 over. So if it's 65, I might do 75. If it's 70, I might do 80. But like, they said they caught someone going 126 miles an hour on 270.
Oh my gosh.
Good God. Like,
but I will admit, if they do the same crackdown on 315 at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to jail. I'm not getting a ticket.
You know what's funny?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
So like last week when I was on my way in, it was a police sitting on 315.
I saw it too.
Look at
yeah.
that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I slammed at my brakes. I was like, what are you doing out here?
I didn't have to do that because I wouldn't do it.
Why are you here?
No, I'm fine. By the way, I'm fine with the state troopers going out there and that's their job, right? Is to like...
There was no engine braking or coasting at that point. I was going to get got.
Yeah. Well, and that's what they said in this article. They interviewed drivers, said Kevin Landers, one of our reporters here, does a great job. Kevin's a great guy. Like, he was talking to other drivers here, and they all said, like, by and large, the sentiment was, no one's out here policing it half the time, so of course people are going to speed, because when there's no enforcement.
Over 100 miles an hour?
Yeah, they said they caught 11 people doing 100 miles an hour last week on 270. That's just the ones they caught.
That's ridiculous.
Let alone all the other ones who were doing it and didn't get caught. But
yeah, me.
This right. But this is exactly what we have in college sports right now, right? There's little to no enforcement. Everyone's like, well, yeah, I don't think it's great, but also I don't want to get run over, so I'm doing 80.
There's no reason
I don't get run over by the guy going 100.
Unless it's an emergency and somebody's like dying in the
car.
Of
course.
Like, that's the only reason to be doing 100? Like, wow.
100. Yeah, that's insane. So this leads me to the U.S. Senate. Was asked because they've put this bill forward, the Protect College Sports Act. They bumped it up to the Senate. Good news if you're someone who doesn't want to see this bill pass. Apparently, a couple of people who were in knowledge of the situation, who were on the Senate Commerce Committee, said there is a very unlikely chance that they are going to take this up before they go to recess in August. And then when they go to recess in August, there's a very narrow window of time where they will come back to Congress for a few days, and then it's November and it's the election. And then there's a bunch of people in Congress who are going to get elected.
So they ain't passing it.
So the chances of it getting passed before the congressional elections, slim to none.
Yeah. They got bigger fish to fry, is what you're saying.
Because they all got their headlines. They all got to say, they got to do their big press conference where they invited every sports figure known to man who sat around a table, and they were like, we're going to fix college sports. Nick Saban was there. All these people there talking about Urban was there, right?
Yep.
All these guys were there. They all get to talk about how they're going to fix college sports. Now they've actually given it to Congress to say, okay, then pass something. And they're like, oh, we got the midterms coming up in 3 months. We can't. We do our jobs. We can't. We got a lot of other stuff. And by the way, they do. They do have more important things to worry about than college sports. But this is what I told you, is they're not going to do this. They're going to have the press conference. They're going to talk about how bad it is. They're not actually going to pass anything, at least not until the election's over. And then they'll probably say, well, I just got here. You can't expect me to vote on something like this. I got to get a vibe. I got to get a lay of the land. I got to wait. Then so, I don't know, next June, maybe they'll take it up again where they'll bury it in a committee and it'll never get passed. So if you are waiting for that to help, keep waiting. It's not going to happen. Morning Breath is coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. Still watching slow-moving traffic on the southeast side on 33 westbound, pushing into Gender Road. We've got a crash that's blocking the left lane, and crews are clearing it out now, but expect to be slow-moving again as you come in from the southeast side. I'm 10TV's Amy Stuckerwald with your fans.
Join our degenerate gamblers, Dave Biddle at Scotty Vegas, every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today, or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll have filtered sunshine throughout the day. After that very nice start to the day, we'll end up around 80 this afternoon, just a touch warmer than the past couple of days. For the overnight hours, partly cloudy skies, lower 60s for a low. Saturday, still looking good. Partly sunny skies, a touch more humidity with highs in the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Sometimes it's better if people just shut up.
Shut up!
It's time for Morning Breath.
All right, we have, this is just the all SEC media edition, the media days. All these coaches were talking yesterday. Some current, one former. We'll start off with Steve Sarkisian, Texas head coach. He was asked about, they have Notre Dame on the schedule, not this year, but next year and the year after. He was asked, are they going to keep games like that on the schedule because it's a little too risky? And here are his thoughts.
If we beat Ohio State last year, surely we're in a much better position when it comes to the playoffs. But on the other side of it is, if I don't play Ohio State and I play Jones Junior High and we're 10-2 and our two losses are to Georgia and Florida, we're a playoff team. But like anything in this world, if you want to be really good at something, you got to take risk. There's a lot of value in that win if you can get the win. And so is the juice worth the squeeze or not? That's what we're all tasked with. And so I don't know yet about Notre Dame. We'll see, because I think the committee's got to show us what happens now and what's the value that they're placing on strength of schedule. And are we going to let a 9-3 team in as an at-large? We'll find out. And I think that this year is going to be a great test to that, of what that looks like.
Okay. So
I just don't understand it, man.
It has nothing to do with losing to Florida last year. That part, you know, I mean, they always talk about if Ohio State loss wasn't there, this other, like, you lost to Florida, man. That's why you didn't get in. Everybody would have been fine with, who was his other loss to? Why am I blanking? You just
Texas.
Said it.
No,
he's Texas.
Was it Georgia?
Georgia, yeah. Yeah, Georgia, that's right. That's if you had Georgia and Ohio State as your two losses, you're in the playoffs. It's the fact you lost to Florida. Stop making excuses. Stop building in losses to crappy teams in the SEC.
I just laugh at it because it's like, in the old CFP, you couldn't lose two games.
Mm-hmm.
You get one, you got a shot. Two
you're out. Yeah.
BCS, one, you out.
Yeah.
Now it's two.
Yeah. You have leeway.
You get to lose two games in 12.
And they're asking for, I should be able to lose three or even
That's
more.
That's ridiculous.
Well, he wasn't the only one. Here's Lane Kiffin talking about that.
I just think that it's going to cause issues that we've already seen until we can get to a world where people can actually look at teams and say, that team that is 9-3 with their schedule is a better team than that 11-1 in a different conference, which now I think we aren't even close to doing that. I think it caused a problem.
Bro, it's a 12-team playoff.
I would argue that that's cap.
Yeah, it is cap. There was a 9-3 team in there last year.
That's what I'm saying.
What are we talking about? And it was an SEC team. They put five of your teams in there. None of them made the championship game.
I just think that it's funny to me because they get the majority of the they are the ones benefiting the most from the conference play.
Yes.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, you are benefiting the most. If Ohio State lose two games in the Big Ten,
that's over.
It's probably
it's
over.
Done.
Yeah.
Like, even if those games, to your point, are Oregon and Indiana, I bet it's still probably done for them. Or if they get in, it's only, you know why they're getting in. If they lose to Oregon and Indiana and still get in, it'll be because they're Ohio State.
Right.
And I'm fully glad to take advantage of that power that Ohio State has, because they are a known quantity. They are known they're going to put on a good game. And you would think, hey, let them in because maybe they'll make some noise over like a school. Like if Michigan State was randomly in that position and they lost those two games, they probably don't get the same consideration that Ohio State does. I fully acknowledge that. But that's what the SEC gets all the time, to your point.
I don't want him to sit here and act like they not benefiting already. Like, Utah was 10-2 last year. Vanderbilt was 10-2. Vanderbilt is ranked over Utah. Like, what are we doing? You are already getting the benefit of the doubt. Stop it. Like, y'all trying way too much. Now, if you want to go with the whole, if you got an issue with the Tulane and
James Madison?
And James Madison, all right.
We can have that conversation all day. That's a totally different thing.
I still don't give a damn. Put Vanderbilt and Texas in over those two teams, and then what? What are they bitching about when they get 7 out of 12 and they still don't win the Natty?
None of those teams are getting to the, to your point, none of those teams are getting, although I saw, who's their star linebacker? Colin Simmons. He yesterday had it where he said, if we'd have got in, we'd have won the whole damn thing.
Great.
Great. You're supposed to think that. But, like, keep that to yourself. What are we talking about? Like, every team that got left out thinks they're going to win.
Buckeyes in 2015.
Yes, everyone thinks that.
Welcome to the boat. Come on in.
How many times, though, like, to your point, do you think I just feel like ever since NIL came into play and 12-team playoff, suddenly more teams have access to the playoffs, more teams have access to the best players because they can all pay the players. Mm-hmm. Suddenly the SEC is not this dominant force when there were only four spots.
You remember last year when they lost to Florida State? Was that last year Alabama lost to Florida State?
Yeah, early in the season.
And I tweeted it out. And everybody got mad.
NIL killed it for
NIL to end the SEC. Oh, those fans was mad at me. I think I got like 2 million views on that tweet. They were cussing me out for weeks. Yeah.
And now what? It's the truth. They have visions of, what was his name? Tommy Castellanos? Wasn't that their quarterback that came from BC?
Boy, guaranteed it.
And he did it. And he beat him. Good for him. Speaking of Alabama, here's Nick Saban, who still, by the way, is on the payroll at Alabama. I think people forget that. But he's on the media now. He's on ESPN, so people think he's slightly unbiased. He's definitely not. Here's his thoughts on the consideration the Big Ten might be surpassing the SEC, like you said, Tyler.
Whoever wins a national championship doesn't define who has the best conference.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best conference gets defined by how many good teams do you have from top to bottom. And I think the SEC has a lot of good teams from top to bottom. So I do think that the Big Ten has had three really, really good football teams. I mean, Michigan had a great team, beat us in overtime in the playoffs, you know, 3 years ago, Ohio State, Indiana. They had really, really good teams. We continued last year. We had five teams in the playoffs, you know, as an SEC conference, which says that there's, you know, pretty good depth in this league. A couple other teams, Vanderbilt and Texas, could have got in. So there's a lot of good teams in the SEC. I think every coach is trying to get his team to play at the highest level possible and hopefully get the best results possible. And if that leads to a championship, that's the ultimate goal. But I don't think they feel pressure just because somebody else won a couple championships.
Okay. It's such bull. Yeah, there you go. That's right. God. Yeah, dude, the idea that now if just because you win the championship doesn't mean you're the best conference. Hang the banner!
How far down the line do we need to go? Because I could make an argument that Ohio State, Oregon, and of course Indiana were better than any SEC team last year. If you want to argue that Georgia's better than Oregon, go for it. Sure.
Go ahead. Okay. Who cares?
But how far down the line do we need to go? They're better because their fourth team is better than the Big Ten's fourth team? I can't believe that this was a conference-wide rhetoric for a whole week.
This is more Nick Saban.
We are so good. Everybody makes a big deal out of being able to beat us. I don't mean they're better than us. And it doesn't mean that just because you win the championship that you have a better conference.
Just because you beat us doesn't mean you're better than us? What planet am I living on? Tyvus, is that what Urban you say to you guys? Hey, man, just because they beat us doesn't mean they're better than us.
I'm sure Notre Dame is saying that about the Buckeyes. I'm sure.
My God.
Miami feels the same way about Indiana. They're not better than us. They beat us, but Remember that the CFP, remember Miami got in over Notre Dame because.
Yeah.
But, you know, Notre Dame probably is like they're not better than us.
Right. But they let the results of what happened on the field matter, right? Because didn't Miami play Notre Dame and Miami beat Notre Dame?
Miami beat Notre Dame.
Yep. And that was the big argument. Was that's like they should get in. Yeah. Right. And
what was the consensus of why we expanded the playoffs both times? What was the reason to make it so that
we don't
what
miss
mattered
out.
On yes. the field happened?
Yes.
That there wouldn't be teams that should make it that wouldn't have a shot. And you expand it and it's still not good enough.
No, it never will be for these
because
losers.
They should
it never will be.
They should have. Texas and Vanderbilt should have got in, and if they would have got in, they would have had a better chance to win the national championship last year.
They have five I'm teams sure. in. There's only 12.
They need seven.
Yeah, you need a majority of the teams before.
What difference does the seven make? Exactly. Make it to the game.
Exactly. Like,
you could get nine of them in. If three of them is the Big Ten and the Big Ten is going to win it, what difference does it make?
It doesn't matter, though. The good news is that the middle of the pack at the SEC, they're better than the middle of the pack in the Big Ten. That's all we've ever cared about. Now, we got our house band, Art and the Official Intelligence, to put together a little song just to signify where these SEC coaches live, apparently. Here you go.
They whine on television with sad puppy eyes. Got a sweaty red face and a mouth full of lies. Put us in the playoffs. They're big talkers. Even though the Big Ten stuffed them in a locker.
Voicemail's coming up next. 614-460-8010. The voicemail line's been ringing off the hook. We'll play some of those when we get back. 2 minutes away. T-Bone and Tybus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday. Still watching slowdowns on 33 westbound at Gender Road. There is a crash right at that exit in those westbound lanes that is slowing traffic from the far southeast side. Expect to be slow moving as crews clear that out. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tybus played in some of the biggest stadiums in the world. T-Bone has eaten some of the biggest pizzas in the world. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
Hey, by the way, I got to do a shameless plug for something that is not a station event. So if Fish wants to yell at me, he can yell at me. However, to this weekend, starting tonight, two shows tomorrow, Sunday, up in Marysville. My daughter, Vivian, my oldest, is in a production of a play, musical, called Between the Lines.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. There's four performances. I put the link out at Degenerate T-Bone. You can see the link. You can go buy tickets if you want to. Come up to Marysville, hang out with us, and go watch my daughter. She's playing Jules in this performance.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I understand your time is valuable. This performance, I am told, is an hour long. So it's not like a three-hour musical. It's not with like 18.
Short.
Yeah, so it's like a compacted version of this performance. So they got a lot of action going in an hour. So if you want to watch it, Come up there. You can see her performance if you want to. But they've been working really hard on it. The kids have been, they're building all the sets. They're doing all the stuff. They're real theater kids. They're really doing it. So we'll be doing that this weekend. Once, other than when my youngest is getting her burns treated, apparently, because she stepped on a curling iron the other day. So we got to figure that out. But other than that, if you want to come hang out, Marysville, there's lots of stuff to do up there. I promise you. But anyway, please come see Between the Lines. Oh, Benny's. Well, there's Benny's, and then the secret option is Buckeye Family Pizzeria. That place, I think, is superior to Benny's, but they're both excellent. So go to Marysville, do that. We have a good taco space up there, too. I forget the name of it, but it's very good. Not open on Saturdays. That's why I forgot the name of it. It's not open on Saturdays. Very good. I've been there a few times.
Great.
The people who run it are from Oaxaca. Like, they're actually,
but
like,
you don't know the name of it.
It's a very long name that I don't remember the name of. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'll find it. I promise, if you come out to Marysville, if you come to the show and you ask me, I will have the name for you and I will tell you where it is. And you can go.
It ain't open on Saturday.
So come up tonight or come up on Sunday.
It's a Friday night.
Well, I'm sorry. When do you want these events to be? Tuesday afternoon? This is when performances are. Friday nights, Saturdays, and Sundays. You'll find this out with your kids when they're in productions. They don't put them like in the middle of the work week.
I am so interested to see what it is my kids are into when they get older.
Yeah. Oh, you never know.
Right now, it would be theater because they love to dress up and like.
Oh, yeah.
Like to put on dresses and be princesses. Yesterday, my youngest was the queen. She had like this blanket wrapped around her. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm the queen.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. The kids love to play dress up. That's good. But between, you know, you got all that stuff. You can do theater stuff. You and mom were both star athletes, so you got that possibility, too. Who knows where they're going to end up.
We're going to do our own version of High School Musical.
Hey, show choir. If that happens, you let me know. You can talk to Joshua Perry. He was in show choir. He was crew for show choir.
He was crew.
But he was there. He was part of it.
Come on now.
I would have paid a lot of money to see Joshua Perry, like, doing the singing and the dancing, because I bet he can move. I bet he had moves back in the day. You should have done show choir. I saw Bedford had a show choir. We were at a show choir thing, and Bedford was there.
Actually, a gal that I dated did show choir.
There you go. Mm-hmm. See,
I watched one of her plays.
They have a good program.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Dylan, the voicemail line is up and active. 614-460-8010. Do we have some selections in the voicemail line?
Yeah, this first one is from our boy on Twitter, Snagglepuss.
Okay.
To Bone's point about the people that listen to their phones out loud in public, these people are narcissists. They are terrible people. They are unaware of their surroundings. They don't care about anyone. It's all about them. They are the same people that will go grocery shopping with buds in their ear. I know it sounds like I just went opposite, but they go grocery shopping with buds in their ear so they don't have to pay attention to anyone. But then they'll sit on a bench without buds and listen to the phone out loud so everyone else is affected by them because they don't have to adapt to society. These are horrible people, and it's getting worse.
Yeah. I thank you for that, Snagglepuss.
Tell us how you really feel.
Hey, that's the point, though. That's what the voicemail line is for. I'm glad. But I was ranting on that yesterday about how just people just listening to their TikToks or their Instagram feeds in public without earbuds in. I didn't consider the opposite fact, though, but you're right. There are some times where I've been going down the aisle at a Kroger or Meijer or wherever, and someone just stand in the middle of the aisle, oblivious to the world, with their earbuds in, and it's like, hey, I'm trying to get around you, and I'm trying to get their attention. I have those open-ear headphones. You ever seen those?
Open-ear?
Yeah, they go over your ear, and they hit your jawbone, and then that transmits the sound into your ear. You can still hear it just fine. Yeah, you know who they're made for is runners. Because when you're like...
Wait a minute, hold on. Let me Google what you're
talking called,
about.
They're called Shocks with a Z. Look up Shocks with a Z. I think that's the company that makes the ones that I have. But there are a bunch of different ones that do this. They go over your ear. They don't actually go in your... I don't know how to say this any other way. They don't go in your ear hole.
The eardrum.
No, but they don't, like, they're not in the ear. They go over it and they hit your jaw, the side of your face. Okay. And that your jaw can transmit the sound to your ear. And so you can have your ear open so you can still hear people.
Well, that's the point. I don't... I want the noise cancellation.
Well, I know
nothing.
But like sometimes I will throw those on if I go to the grocery store, so I can still hear if someone goes, "Excuse me," you know.
If you got AirPods, you could put it in transparency mode, so you can still hear.
Well, people don't, because I promise you, there's times where I've like tried to get around someone and they're just like not paying attention. But
on a similar note, please explain to me, if you can, why people drive with earbuds in.
I didn't even know that. I didn't know that was legal.
I didn't know it was legal.
I don't think it is.
I was always told when I was a kid, you can't do that because you can't hear a siren. You can't. Right. It's not safe.
Let me tell you, if you got kids in the car and you want to listen to your explicit music and they want to listen to whatever it is that they listen to, right. HOTTOGO, you can take me hot to go. If you don't want to hear that and you done heard it 50 times, because uh-huh. Kids like to listen to stuff on repeat.
I've never experienced that. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
If you at time 49 and don't want to hear it no more, you put the earbuds on, you can listen to what you want to listen to.
But I'm a nice parent, and I will listen to the music that my daughter wants to listen to in the car. But I also understand my parents' approach, which was when I wanted to listen to music in the car, they told me to go straight to hell, that they were going to listen to what they wanted to listen to.
Yeah. Now, I realize we don't want the kids necessarily to have the earbuds in, but if we had to do it one way or the other, the kids should be having the headphones or the earbuds, and the parents should be able to control the radio.
I agree. That's the way it should be. So I got a dilemma, because my oldest will do that. My youngest has headphones, but she refuses to wear them.
Well,
so what
she's going to learn some new words.
She does is she plays her iPad just out loud, and she's in her own world.
Yeah.
My oldest got the headphones on, so she can't hear nothing.
Well, but again.
But she sings.
She's a child. Like, it's okay. As much as it's annoying, it's like it's expected that a child will be like not as focused on the world around them. When you're an adult, a grown-up, you have to then like realize there are other people out here. Maybe I won't put my tablet or my phone at full blast as I'm just watching my Instagram reels.
Put a headphone in.
Yeah. Dylan, do you have any more voicemails?
Yeah, we did write our production Wednesday last week.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, this guy's a little late to the party, but he gave us a good one.
Hi guys, this is Phil from Columbus, Ohio. Mr. Tomatoes, a.k.a. Beef. I know I'm a little late to the party here, but here's an intro for you. Tyvus studied some of the best offenses in college football and the NFL, while T-Bone studied for his urine test. Thanks, guys.
I like that. That's good. See? Write that one down. Let's get that one made. We'll send that off to the production people and get that in here. I like that. That's good. Thank you for the suggestion, Beef. I appreciate it. My guy, Beef. You have any more, Dylan?
Do we have time for any more?
Yeah, we can play one more. All right. If we have time for, I don't know if we don't have one, it's fine. I know we had a bunch of them come in, but I don't know which ones we had all lined up.
Here, this is one we actually just got in.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Hi, this is Curtis from Dublin. I just wanted to say that I think it's ridiculous all these coaches saying that they'll get rid of these big games. You were just talking about Texas not possibly playing Notre Dame in the future, but yet these universities still want to continue to charge 95, 100, 100 plus for games. Why do I, as a fan, want to go see Ball State and pay $100?
Yeah.
When they expanded the playoffs, we all hoped for these big-time matchups.
Totally agree.
I agree.
And by the way, they charge that for Ball State, and then when the big-time games come, oh, here, it's $400 because we have flex plans. It's not the same price for every game. So, yeah, you're right. That's a great call. Keep those calls coming in, by the way. So here is the challenge for you all listening. It is the weekend coming up. You got a whole bunch of stuff's going to happen today, tomorrow, Sunday. You're going to go see a play up in Marysville. You're going to eat tacos at an unnamed taco place. The point is, as life happens, you may have a thought and you want it these to tickets, be on the air.
Is these tickets, can they be clarnered or afterpaid?
I'm sure they can be. Four easy payments of $2 or whatever it costs.
That's what my friend was telling me yesterday. He said, you got to take advantage of the buy now, pay later thing.
Mm, yeah. Oh, that's
what I said. That's what
tickets have layaway now. Like, that's when I was a kid, everything had layway. Yeah, that's what clarnered is.
Yeah. use like all that
stuff.
You do
payment plans. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No, you can, yeah, you can work it out. Anyway, if you're around today or tomorrow or Sunday and you've got a thought for the show, just call it. The number is open there 24/7, 614-460-8010. We'll have some of your voicemails from the weekend, I'm sure, on Monday. So, yeah, keep that number in your phone for whenever you need to get something off your chest. We'll be here for you. We'll hit the buzzer when we come back next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. Two small issues to flag for you. Far West Side driver, 70 eastbound, the right shoulder blocked off in those eastbound lanes just past 142 coming in from the Plain City area. Also on 70, but heading westbound, we've got crews pushed off to the far right shoulder on the entrance ramp to 70 westbound from Broad Street. I'm 10TV's Amy Stuggerwald with your fan.
Retirement from football hits everyone differently. For Devere Posey and Dane Sanzenbacher, it means sitting around watching sports clips on the internet and arguing about them. Search for Didn't Catch That on YouTube and subscribe.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Two men who both know the value of a good hat.
You're bald!
This is Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program, a guy that you could catch. He's been filling in all week for the PTO Bo Bishop. Guy you can see in the fall on NBC. And best known for being Milani Joe Pyle's godfather, Joshua Perry. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good.
Are you? Did you know that we're supposed to have, like, plans this weekend, like Saturday? Did you know that?
I had no
My
idea.
My wife was telling me something about like going to Prohibition with you and your family.
This is interesting. I know they were FaceTiming yesterday.
Yeah.
I had no idea what they were actually talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know either. It was like one of those things where like I was on my way to bed and she was like, yeah, I think we're going to be doing something with the Perrys.
I fell asleep on the couch, so I didn't even make it that far.
So I wanted to know if you was aware, because I didn't know if that was like set in stone or not.
This is news to me.
this is called being married, where the wife makes the plan and as husbands we just...
By the way, yeah. I've seen Tyvus every day this week. No idea.
No, yeah, I know. No clue. I have had that happen so many times with my buddies too, where it's like, hey, we should get together. And then it's like later he'll text, like, I think our wives are talking. It's like, all right, cool. Then no need for us to discuss it. We'll just wait until they figure it out. By the way, Tyvus is sitting here like, talking, if you're listening on the radio, all this sounds normal. Just know this psychopath is sitting next to me with a fathead of himself.
Why?
Holding it up next to it. This thing is like 3 feet tall. This Tyvus head that's been in here forever. Decided to hold it up today for some reason.
Do I look like this?
Not anymore.
Yeah, your cheekbones look a lot different.
It'd be a little rounder. It'd be a little rounder.
You're a little more jolly.
By the way, Joshua, can you tell this man to go get his national championship MVP trophy from some set in Cleveland and bring it down here?
He put the national championship defensive MVP trophy in the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. It's on their set.
Can I ask a personal question here? Who pays more?
Oh, I think
here.
Bring it here.
Yeah.
Where am I putting it?
God forbid. The studio.
You think I'm going to come in here every day
just like you're holding the
and bring a trophy in here every day?
You just leave it.
No, Tyvus. I had this in here, and you know what happened? They took it and put it in the corner.
Well, Tyvus. Obviously. Obviously.
Far be it for me to give you options that you don't want to hear, but I mean, you could just take it home and have it at your house for yourself.
Why don't you do that?
To enjoy it. Have
any of y'all watched Quarterback on Netflix this new season?
I've watched, no, not a lot of it. I've seen a little bit.
You only
need to see about 20 minutes of episode one to catch what I'm about to say.
Okay.
So Joe Flacco, obviously he won Super Bowl. He won MVP. He got the trophy. He got the ring. And they gave him a car.
Corvette.
Correct.
Yeah.
The Corvette sits in the garage, never gets driven. And he said, he was talking about mainly about the MVP trophy. And he goes, you know, when you're a kid and you're growing up, you think that you're going to cherish this thing. This is going to be the biggest thing that happens. And now that you have it, it just kind of sits there and collects dust. And it's not even something you think about. That's exactly how I feel about my trophy and rings. And like, swing, I don't care.
Go
about
ahead and
that.
Swing that trophy my way.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let the team in tackles that year anyway. I'll take the trophy. I'll put my name on it since you don't give a damn, and I'll display it.
Yeah. Well, there's no name on it. It just says defensive player of the game. Well,
Even better.
Well, if you don't want to give it to him, I mean, I will keep it in safekeeping for you until you decide maybe when you're, I don't know, 70, that you're like, I might like, no, I won't. I won't be here. I'll be dead.
All you have
but
to
I'm
do.
Saying that my kids will give it to you and they'll return it back to you.
It's one of those things that, like, you don't need the trophy. Like, it's documented information. Like,
yes, but they gave you a trophy. I'm why wouldn't you want to hang
I'm
on to it?
I'm grateful for it. But,
you know,
like,
I'm really tired of you.
Yeah, that is.
I don't care about material things. The only thing I care about is this fat head that I'm holding.
Which is crazy because it's your face. I feel like I am a hater of things, right? Like, I go out of my way sometimes to not enjoy things.
Mm.
And I feel like you're 10 times worse than I am, and it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about a trophy?
A big honor that you won, that you earned, why that it, someone gave there, to you to say you did this.
What is it going
to
do for
to
me?
To be able to have those types of accolades, Tyvus, and here you are.
You wouldn't be sitting in that studio if it wasn't for that trophy.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
Listen.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's, I like to think
I will
that's
say,
not true.
First off, no. Let me
I
just
like
say,
to think that that's not true.
He said he went from that's not true to, well, I'd like to think that's not true.
That's not true.
Dylan,
I hope that's not the case.
I appreciate the shade. I am going to say that's cap. Only because Tyvus's personality is such that he could be the worst defensive player of all time.
I mean,
but he's still entertaining.
The stories would be better.
Yes, the stories would be way better.
If you go back and look at the defense, I probably was arguably one of the worst players on the defense.
Well, no, your best stories come from when you and, like, Joshua and Eli all ran into each other. Like, yeah, those stories are great, and that's failure, and those stories are way better than, like, oh, no, I was awesome, and I caught the ball, and then I ran it out of the end zone, and everybody celebrated.
Being one of the worst players on the defense at a place like Ohio State,
like, still, you know, still great.
We're top 5%.
Yeah, that's still really
the
awesome.
Upper crust. Really? Oh,
my biggest beef is not so much that you don't want the trophy in your house or you don't want to give it to Joshua to relabel it or whatever. It's the fact that you let the losers up in Cleveland have it. Who you don't even they don't even want you on the show anymore. Here is your show. This is your show.
They do want me on the show.
They don't want you on the show.
What are you talking about?
They don't want you on the show.
The argument, the whole holdup was the fact that I wasn't going to be on the show. I am on the show still.
No, 10, I'm actually
10:20 to 10:40 Tuesdays and Wednesdays, by the way.
Here's the real talk. I'm mad at them.
Go ahead. You going to Cleveland anytime soon?
I will make a special trip just to
get you my badge. You can go get it.
I'm mad at McChicken or whatever his name.
McNuggets.
Whatever. Oh, sorry. My bad.
Mikey McNuggets.
I just could not give a bollocks.
I don't care what his name is. Point is, when that negotiation was happening behind the scenes, here's what they said to us. They said, hey, Tyvus, can you leave an hour early to come up and do our Cleveland show? No, because it's not called the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, Tyvus Powell's show. They wanted him to leave an hour twice a week from this show to go work for our company up in Cleveland.
What's the name of this show?
Well, it's about to be T-Bone and Joshua Perry. If he goes out, I'll tell you that. It's going to be, if he'd have taken that, I'd have been like, go ahead. You got 5 days a week now to go do that. Go right ahead. You picked your battle. Go ahead.
Stink. Oh, man.
JP, what's coming up on the show today?
We're digging into conference media days still. The people down south running their mouths. I know you guys have talked about it. We will as well. Tim May is going to join the show. Doug Lamorese, I believe, is joining the show. And we've got our top 20 most interesting Michigan State for today.
There you go. Bishop and Fritz.
Would it be like Tom Brady and his son if I kiss myself?
You're weird.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
All right.
You didn't have to do that.
Thank God it's Friday and we're almost, this show is almost over.
People should love themselves the way that Tyvus loves himself. I do agree with that.
You go home and do all the self-love you want to. It's a free weekend. Go ahead and do what you want. Saw this news yesterday. Thought it's worth mentioning. One of the other elite programs at Ohio State, the women's hockey team, Nadine Muzraw, their head coach, multiple national championships, multiple appearances in national championship games the last few years. Well, they've added some more firepower to the coaching staff. former Blue Jacket player and longtime NHL veteran Jack Johnson joining the coaching staff of Ohio State. He will be an assistant. James Wisniewski, who was with the Blue Jackets and was an associate coach there for 2 years, he has decided to move on. He's going to go back and hang out with his family, I guess, according to an OSU spokesperson. But they replaced him with another Jackets legend in Jack Johnson. So very cool stuff for them to join up and be a part of the OSU women's hockey program. That is it for us. Have a great rest of your Friday. I'm going to go watch a bunch of plays this weekend. Try to have my kid not burn her foot off with a curling iron. See you on Monday. Have a great Friday. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday. We're still watching crews clear out a crash on 70 westbound. This is getting onto 70 westbound from West Broad Street. We've got the right shoulder blocked off there. And then far west side drivers, 70 eastbound, a little bit slow, passing 142 due to a disabled vehicle. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your